This is Hume Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, 7:02. We're running a little tardy, but that was because, well, it's a technical. Do we get to drink on a technical?
Yep, we do.
Right out of the gate? God, I love that.
Por supuesto.
Having technical issues, if you were hoping to watch us tonight, we're terribly sorry to disappoint you. There will be no video tonight. We are not recording tonight's show. It's an audio-only extravaganza. Sometimes I just fucking hate technology, and I've rebooted, I've restarted, and I gave up because, well, my crown and diet was a little more important than that goddamn computer. Hello, it is the show. It's Clayton McKee along with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. It's a Tuesday. It's a post-Tonys Tuesday is what it is. Whew, that was an exciting evening of drinking and snacks at my house with everybody. I'm sure Al's got stories to tell us in entertainment about the Tonys.
I think I have something. I feel like I need more volume.
What do you need, more?
Maybe.
Let's try these buttons.
Or maybe it's just like, there it is. That sounds better.
Oh, you just wanted yourself louder.
No, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay,
yes.
That's good then.
Trust me, everybody. If we can, we know everybody else can.
Someone will call in.
Right, inevitably. Yes. Tyler from Tennessee is already saying that it's sad that there's no video tonight. So
it is sad,
unless
Tyler.
The miracles of something fixes this goddamn thing, well, we'll just be audio only. You can imagine what we look like. Very similar to every other week.
I'm wearing a hat. That's different.
That's different.
Not. That's new.
And I'm wearing a black V-neck, so that's different.
So just watch last week's.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as I get those uploaded, because there's another issue altogether, too. So much going on in the world. Well, thank you for being here. It's the show. We do this every Tuesday night, 7 to 10 Arizona time. So much going on, so much to talk about. Lots of things in the news we're going to talk about in a little while. Catch up with everybody and what's been going on. In the meantime, do join us in the chat room, if you will. Go to QTalkAmerica.com and click on the banner at the top of the page. It will say chat live. You can do that and send us any question, comment, good or bad, and we will try to get to it. Talk to address your concerns if you would like to put it that way. Katie, what are you doing? You're
address
over there.
Your concerns.
By the way, nobody's medically trained, so we can only do advice, but really can't render any real help.
No.
We all need real help, though, I've decided.
Yeah.
Yes. Katie, you were sucking on a beverage. What are you drinking and what are you reading? What's going on?
I'm drinking a lemonade and vodka.
Vodka.
It's really been my drink of choice for a lot lately here. A, because it's like really, it's cheap and easy to bring in. I can bring in a bottle of vodka and a bottle of lemonade and it lasts me a couple weeks at least. Okay. You know, so
well, and a half. Actually, that's better than when we first started the show because we were polishing up stuff right and left.
Oh my God,
really
yes.
Quick. So
yeah.
I think as we've settled in and we've become, you know, less nervous about how things are going to work, we drink less.
You mean as we've matured?
Oh, sure. In the year we've been on.
Just the last 2 months for me. But.
Some people are slower to learn.
Well, that's true. Really true.
Yeah. I have to share my most fabulous moment from this past week.
Well, by all means.
I think maybe it was Al's most fabulous moment as well.
It was a highlight, yes.
Oh.
And maybe Marnie's. I don't know if you went to the concert.
And maybe some of you men, too.
No, I didn't get the opportunity.
Okay. I went on Saturday. Like, no. So, Clayton, you hosted the Phoenix Pride Gala.
Yes, I did.
Which was great.
Yeah.
And I was not there because I went to the Idina Menzel concert.
Aha!
And it was... It was the best concert I've ever been to. I've been to many. It was different than I've been to like lots of rock concerts and what have you. So it was different.
After having been at Taylor Swift, I can imagine.
This was a whole different animal.
Just a little bit. Okay.
What was great is that even Kelly, who really looked at me at one point and goes, I mean, is this what the symphony is always like? Because let's buy season tickets. And I'm like, no, honey, it's not.
Well, actually, it is always very good. That's like my third or fourth time there.
And is it really?
It's just a lovely evening. I mean, there's not always singers.
Right.
But the music is just beautiful.
Well, and see, I would think that I would really look forward to attending a symphony again. I don't think that for Kelly, she really liked that she knew Idina. She knew some of her songs. Idina Menzel is quite possibly the most charming, beautiful, funny, but perfect woman on the place of the planet. And I'm completely in love and like just obsessed with her. And she was funny and great and fabulous. And
that hot husband wasn't with her by any chance.
Anyway, no, he was not.
But hey, there were comments. Yeah, people commented. At one point, she looked at the front row and there was a man sitting front and center. And she goes, well, and thank you so much for being here right up at the front. You're not. No, obviously you're not straight. You're in the front row of my concert. And then he kind of laughed and he said something, oh, I love you. And he goes, no, I'm not. I love your husband. And she's like, oh, that's cute. You love my husband. Mm. Well, he's not here and this is my show. So sit down. Like she was just
right
on point. So at one point, I mean, I literally cried probably 15 times during the show. Oh. I was just like so overwhelmed by the music and just her. And it was so wonderful. So she comes out to do, you know, Rent is like my all-time fave. And she sings one of her Rent songs. And I start crying immediately because I'm just like, oh, my love it so much. And it was Take Me or Leave Me, which is one of my karaoke faves. And it's the song that she sings in the show with another lesbian character. Anyway, long story short, she invited people from the audience to sing it with her.
Wow. Okay. To be the black
and
lesbian girl.
And I was doing this in the middle row, you know, but I was sitting right in the center. And she was picking people from the edges. Sure. Kelly was like, just stand up and run down there. I'm like, that's just too much.
You should have like body surfed in.
I know.
That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah.
That would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, would have. Yeah, it was just really incredible. She
it's
made
the things we think about
She made the black lesbian comment to the first girl that she pulled up. And the girl was like, I don't really know I'm nervous. And she goes, it's okay. Just be a black lesbian. And then she goes, wait a minute. How old are you? And the girl's like, 14. And she turns around and goes, Where's mom? I'm so sorry. And she turns back to the audience and goes, it's like we're sisters. Just like sisters.
Just, yeah. In this case, we're sisters.
Yeah. That was just, she was just really wonderful. So that was the highlight of my last week. And I was thinking about you while you were there. You know, I had some friends that went out afterwards to Hanny's mm-hmm. for cocktails, and she was there. Oh. She went out, and they got a chance to say hello to
her. To where?
And
Hanny's downtown. The
oh,
bar.
I've never heard of it.
It used really? To be.
I had just heard of it, actually, just very recently.
So right across from the Renaissance, the old mm-hmm. Wyndham.
Didn't Hanny's used to be a men's clothing store?
It was a high-end men's clothing store. It's been around for forever. And it's neat. When you go inside, I mean, there are still remnants of the clothing store that was there. It's a neat little...
Where the restrooms are, if I'm not mistaken, upstairs where the restrooms are, or where they're formerly the dressing rooms.
Yeah,
the changing
and
rooms.
And it's all mirrored, and it's very... It's cool. A cool little space.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yeah. It is.
It's just like wine and little, you know,
I'm really
pizza.
Surprised that you don't know of it, though, because it's kind of a cocktail martini thing you go to.
Oh, yeah. It's a little shushy. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, she was there.
I'm no stranger to that.
Yeah. And... So cool night.
I'm excited that you guys got to experience that. That's very nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, and she's not my favorite singer, like by any means, but she and I had seen her at a cabaret where her show was just not firing right. Like all of her big songs from her shows are mostly duets. Like they need something else. Mm-hmm. Either it's a chorus song like Defying Gravity, which is really a duet with a full chorus backup, so it's hard to make it a solo song. And somebody did a beautiful job for her for No Day But Today. That was that is spectacular.
So wonderful.
But she was fun. She was engaging. She played to the whole house. And then at one point, because she, at the very beginning, she turned down her microphone because she said, oh, that's a little too much Adina. And then she was kind of overwhelmed by the orchestra. She was kind of hard to hear a little bit.
So it was in her monitors that were wrong?
Well, she just thought she could hear herself too loud. She was, you know, she had her own headphones in. So then at one point during the show, and I don't think it was because of, but she was, you could still hear her fine. It just wasn't, her voice wasn't soaring over the orchestra. Like, it wasn't like Donna Summer, where like Donna Summer's big booming voice was like competing with the orchestra. She was kind of like under the orchestra. Okay. And it made it a little frustrating now and then for lyrics.
We were like in front and center.
And I
wonder if maybe, because I didn't feel that I had that same experience, although I don't have anything else to compare it to.
Yeah, and my only thing with that was, then when she did For Good, the finale number from Wicked, she just put the microphone behind her back and did it a cappella. And just, I mean, she stood there center stage at the symphony and reached the balconies. It just proved that like this woman does not need to be. It was, and that's when you knew like there's a little bit of a sound issue here. Like there always is at the symphony. Like they have those little dead spaces because there's 9 million instruments playing at the same time. If they didn't do something about it, there's some kind of technical issues. But oh my god, when she did that a cappella For Good, there wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Yeah. I just had the chills from that.
I do too. Again,
it was absolutely beautiful. Just yeah. beautiful. And a nice arrangement of songs. Like they did, she did a medley of I still haven't found what I'm looking for into In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. Yeah. Yeah. And it was going along and it was a strange arrangement for the full orchestra. And then all of a sudden a guy stood up with a trumpet and just did a trumpet solo with her like just scatting over the top of it. My nipples get hard. And it was really all cool. of a sudden it all made sense. Like you got what the weird drumming was, like the guy in the xylophone, everything just made sense when that trumpet stood up and just brought it all home.
She was so good.
And you know how In Your Eyes at the end, the guy, whoever that African singer is, just scats over the end of it. And she did that, and it was just pitch perfect.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Very cool.
Really nice. And it's just such a lovely venue. Like, it's just lovely.
And she just looked classy, and she's just gorgeous.
And dropped the F-bomb. Like, she was...
She dropped
colorful,
a couple F-bombs.
A couple F-bombs. Really fun. It was a charming night, and it's just such a nice... It's just so nice to go to the symphony.
And we went out to see all those people
playing instruments. Like, it's that whole thing about teach your kids music.
Right.
Yes.
Rather than auto-tuning them.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Like, teach them, like, true instruments.
Yeah, so you think about, when you said that, it makes me think of that girl whose mom spent all that money so she could sing, "It's Friday, can I get home and find... Whatever that horrible song
was. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And what a difference between that girl's music experience, like what her parents are encouraging, that god-awful, that, versus parents who encourage their children to play the piano or play the violin. And, you know, the whole time Kelly's like, you know, I had 1 year of violin lessons. That could have been me.
Yeah, exactly. And then they have, like, the bass, the cellos, the string section. I mean, and it's the full...
I have not been to a symphony since I've been a child. And I went to the Phoenix Symphony with my parents once. And it was overwhelming. I started crying as soon as they started playing. I was totally overwhelmed by
and anytime you can bring in the timpani drum, the boom, boom, boom.
Oh, love that.
Like the end of any Barbra Streisand movie because she's addicted to them too.
Good times. Anyway, sorry.
The closest thing to that I could get I saw it on PBS. It was broadcast once, the whole video of it. But then the CD, I think I gave you the CD to copy or something. Barefoot with the Orchestra or Barefoot with the Symphony.
That's the series. That's the series.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it. And that's wonderful. Except in that Taye Diggs does walk out.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would have been the highlight.
Which is what I'm thinking everyone was thinking. But now she's going to play the Opera House in Sydney.
She's doing
like a week at the Opera House in Sydney. And I'm like, oh, fuckers.
So cool.
Very nice.
Marcia, what'd you do?
Just took on new identities.
A lot of people I know have done that.
Each of them beloved.
Not bad. Well, thank you.
More than the last.
Thanks. Yes. I keep trying new ones out. It's just boring. It's the house. Just been at the house.
Hers or yours?
Well, hers more than mine. Okay. But so she's in Peru.
I've been Facebook stalking her photos. Yes.
She was unable. She thought it was going to be unable to get on and this and that. She's already asleep or she would be on with us.
Oh.
I was like, you got to have Peru, you know, in the chat room. But she had to work in the fields today, which makes me laugh.
She's a field hand.
Wait, so she went...
She's racist.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 United States, a Kuwait, a France, and a Philippines listening.
That's so cool. Hey,
and I'm hoping that anybody from the Philippines may be related to Bruno Mars. Let him know that I love him. just in case.
Uh-huh.
She's doing well. She's ready to come home. She's like, it's been long enough. Yeah, she's there until next Monday night. She doesn't get home until Tuesday
Forgive
morning.
Me for not understanding how this vacation works, but I don't recall ever being, there's a sign up for working in fields.
Well, my
vacations would be if I were to go home, because that's what I would
want
to do.
That's what you want to do.
Right, but I don't picture her as I want to go whatever.
No,
I
mean, whatever you're correct. Grow. Yeah. You're correct.
Okay.
No, this was, again, because of her dad and this, and I know a little bit more about it. It's biochar, it's called, and they make something. This part I don't know as well, but they make something, and then they put it into the potatoes, which is their main crop. And they're teaching a small community there how to farm it to make their, you know.
So you have to work the field because that's part of what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understanding. All right.
So they're going out there and they're making it. It's something that I want to say like a fertilizer, but this biochar is a charcoal. And so I don't know. All very.
I like how you like more, but it's still just as vague.
I knew biochar. I knew
there you
that.
Go. So there you go. So I know one more word than I did yesterday.
I bet you if somebody Googled biochar, somebody would know more than you.
Easily.
This whole story would go up.
Easily. And someone would be like, she is lying.
And then somebody in the chat room could let us know what the fuck we're talking about.
It's this thing, and then they put it in this thing, and then they put it in the ground. The end.
Oh, it's a time capsule. That's what it sounds like.
Make it whatever you want.
And then they put it in this thing.
And it goes over there. And then it's charcoal.
Right. Right. Oh, and it's fantastic. It goes with everything.
I think it does. They've eaten different things. I don't know if you saw the picture with that foot. Her dad had a foot? Chicken foot.
Oh. Like, don't think I saw that.
No. Yep. I almost threw up. And I sat there and I was like, no. So in Spanish, I would have to tell them to please withhold the cabeza y zapatos or whatever the hell. Maybe that's
the
a shoe.
The heads and shoes.
But
yeah.
Whatever. Well, they'll get the idea.
Pais.
Whatever. They'd get the idea. I don't want that shit in my soup. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't like a leak in my soup.
No. It's probably crunchy. Can't go wrong.
tastes like chicken.
It's just a wonton. Yeah. It's a chicken wonton.
That
yeah.
and
a
hamster heads. They take hamster Stop bodies.
It. Nope, we're done.
We're done with that.
No, I'm sorry. Guinea pigs.
Still.
Same thing. I call it a hamster.
It is a bigger hamster.
Which is actually worse. They're apparently running around, and then they just put the whole fucking thing in your plate.
That's god awful.
No. No.
Wait, so they take those, like random like watch rodents? Anthony.
Yeah, I think so. Well, no, and they're
in other
picks.
Countries that aren't America. Right, but they're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're not... It's not like, Harry the hamster.
Well, here they eat javelina, and javelina it's a rodent. Javelina is not a pig.
Well, then I'm never going to eat it.
It's a rodent.
It tastes like
now
chicken.
I'm not going to.
When you get to...
And it's not even third world countries. When you get to, like, the south or, like, the rural areas... Yeah, I mean, but
you eat
what's available. Like, you don't have these fancy choices. Like, you eat what the earth provides. You don't get to go to AJ's and make choices.
This isn't pineapple and dewy chicken sausage. I'm out. Right. But that's what I'm eating this
when
week.
When you go to Asia, it's bugs. Because
white woman problems.
Yeah, it really is. But in Asia, it's like when you go there and you find out what they're eating what the earth provides. That's what you get. Like,
yep.
That's what it is to have real choice.
And this is why I don't like to travel.
No,
one of many reasons.
Well, no, you just don't travel to those places.
Well, a friend asked me today, when do you get to go to Peru? And I'm like, I'm fine.
What do you mean get to?
I'm fine. I don't need to go to a third world country. I'm in a house that didn't have air for 4 days and a sewer that's rotted underneath. I'm in a third world country.
I'm in Peru.
But I can go ahead home whenever I need to. I'm good and shower.
Why is your air not working?
Oh, it was out for 4 days. It just stopped. So the home warranty came out and took care of that. And just a domino effect.
It's all the lovely things of a new home purchase. A used home purchase.
Yeah. So, and I learned a huge lesson when your partner's out of town and you're going through the, sappy, I miss you stuff. And you're sitting there. Maybe don't watch The Notebook. That's all I'm going to say.
Jesus Christ.
Are you kidding me?
I'm
sitting there and all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, oh, look, it's Ryan Gosling, blah, blah, blah. and I was sobbing by the
How can you not?
Like, even if I wasn't missing her, I'm gonna be sobbing.
Yeah.
Then you add that component.
I watched
bullshit.
The Notebook one time when I was stuck on a tarmac in an airplane for 6 hours. I was pissed and half drunk because they were giving us free alcohol. And I watched The Notebook.
Just a half tear.
And out of nowhere, I mean, like, I'm in a really yucky, stupid situation, and I was like, bawling by the end.
That is quite possibly the saddest movie ever made.
Oh my god!
With two hot guys, so you think it's going to be a masturbation fantasy, and then you can't cry and jack off.
I mean, you could.
You could. Maybe. Technically.
Maybe that's some people's thing.
Yeah.
It could be a fetish.
The lap dance is better when the stripper's crying. Remember that song?
I remember something about that.
That's amazing.
It's by the guys that did. We can both watch X-Files. What's the name of that song?
Oh, I have no idea.
I feel like it's Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah, Bloodhound Gang. That's it. That song used to crack me the fuck up.
You're pretty when I'm drunk. That was one of my classic faves. I know every word. Actually, I could start it now.
That's awesome.
We got to do it doggy style so we can both watch X-Files. I just love that line. Big fan. I like your optimism over there. Still trying to get
Oh, no. Joe fixed it.
Oh, no.
So we will be broadcasting video moments from...
I have to move over.
Yeah, moments from now. But titties up, ladies. Titties up.
Go, Joe. From far away. Remotely.
So, Clayton, what did you do? Or are we skipping you so you can fix that?
Oh, no, we're not. We're going. We're live now.
We're live.
So there, hello, everybody. Hello. We finally are on the goddamn air.
Welcome from Toledo.
Yes,
by the way, remarkably, look a lot like last week.
Look, similar. Yeah. Very similar. Well, Friday, of course, was my normal Friday night. Then Saturday, I awakened early because I knew that we do the every year I've been blessed to be able to participate in the Phoenix Pride Gala, which is it's the way that Phoenix Pride shows that they do more than just the Pride event every year. I mean, obviously, there's the parade, there's Rainbows Festival, but the other things that they do are things like throughout the year, they part of all the money that they do intake, they give back to other nonprofits within the community. So there are several other organizations that receive funding. But the bigger thing that they do is it's all about the scholarship program that they give money and scholarships to the youth.
So it's like
community.
Miss America.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to answer questions and know where Poland is.
And but not just you,
or pretend.
No, it's true.
And not just
year,
Poland.
Because this year they gave it, and
how am I never in this shot?
You're going to remember her name. I'm not going to. I would hope. I don't know. Maybe not. The lovely lady who decided to continue her education, and she's a little older. I couldn't even tell you how old. I'm going to guess 30s. I have no idea how. Maggie? Is it Maggie something?
We're describing really 30 as no older idea. Now?
Well, older than right? older than 15-year-old
like
kids that are getting scholarships.
I want a scholarship.
Oh, okay. Yes. I missed a sentence there.
Yeah, yeah, no. I was like,
so it was nice to see all of the people who got scholarships. I think it was like 5 or 6 kids plus this woman, and so they continued education, and they couldn't afford it. There was other something about the housing, the housing project that they have for like I want to say the 1 in 10 youth, but the some youth program.
Yeah, it's actually called something Manor. It's not the 1 in 10 youth program,
yeah,
but it's CPS. It's run by CPS,
okay.
But it's specifically for LGBT youth that are in that CPS program.
At risk. They're not just the 1 in 10. They're the at risk.
They're very at risk in the child protective kind of.
And I can't remember what it's called.
Program.
It's a great organization. Something Manor.
And so they started this specifically. When these children are having trouble in other group homes because they are gay. So they have this. Anyway, they're doing a bowling tournament coming up to raise money, and I'm going to be a part of it.
Are you a bowler?
Nice. I'm not, but Natalie Cianciola is, and she's won me a couple of trophies
at
bowling tourneys in the past.
I see.
I'm going to be on her team. That's
very nice.
Side note.
Nice. So part of the gala was I got standing in line, you know, waiting to meet and see other people. Former mayor of Phoenix, Phil Gordon, walks up and says hi to me by name, and I'm like, well, how often do you get that? The fifth largest city in the country, and former mayor comes up and knows me by name.
That's pretty cool.
I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
cool.
Our current mayor and first lady Nicole and Greg Stanton were not there. They couldn't be there for whatever reason they couldn't. But it was really a nice evening, and it was Brandy's last official function with Pride before she and Tambert actually just today started heading east towards Tulsa, Oklahoma. The funny thing is, in talking to them about where they're moving, the last house that we lived in Tulsa is like a mile from where they just bought a house.
Cool.
I met Brandy's dad, and we talked all about back home, or, you know, in Tulsa, and they knew all the same landmarks I did, and we talked about the changes in the city and so forth. So that was kind of very nice to hear about all that. The other thing I didn't realize about them, they sold their house weeks ago and have been living with somebody else. They like all their stuff is already packed up and sitting
it's
in
gone.
A truck in Tulsa
yeah.
waiting for them to arrive.
It's now a meth lab.
Yeah. Right. Hope you didn't need any of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously.
So all in all, good weekend. And then Sunday was really the icing on the cake, though. I a friend of mine went through some stuff last week, so I decided to help him out. I detailed his truck for him and cleaned all that up. So when he came back from his little mishap with family, that he had something nice and shiny to drive around. But the best part of the evening was sitting with you, Matt Marotska, Doug Wilkie, Buddy Early, and Kevin Dasso with Al and I watching the Tonys. So you've got, what, six guys in my living room all just cheering at everything that happened.
That's so fun.
Matt Marotska is nuts when it comes to the Tonys.
Yeah.
He is. I didn't realize how crazy he is with that.
That's it. Well, but because he lives there, he's seen almost everything as far as musicals. He not as up on the straight place. But he's seen everything, and he knows a lot of people in the community.
Right.
He's actually... you know, met people, and it's his thing. He loves
It's your Oscars.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he actually said that. He goes, the way Al is about the Academy Awards, I am about the Tonys.
Yeah.
But we all enjoyed it.
But they're not on live, so I just go into media silence at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and just don't look at anything because we've never had them live. So I don't get as excited for things that aren't live. Like if it's live, then I'm finding out when everybody else is.
Yeah.
Half the country already knows who won.
Right. But right. I've been watching it over 3 nights, and I don't care.
Yeah, and I completely get off on watching the genuine, having the reaction with the people that win.
Yeah.
So I knew he cheated. He knew two winners, and he picked one winner that I'm like, absolutely not. You're a liar.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I knew that one. I'm like, I knew you did. Like, no, you can't pull that out of your ass that you knew that was going to win.
Now, were you doing a bracket? Did you do the?
No.
Because I mean, most of them are just like, and I luckily just. Luck of the draw, I saw, because I went to explore Lincoln Center for the first time when I was there.
The Masha, I kept thinking of you when nominated.
And it won Best New Play. So
That's
I
good.
Actually
Wait,
got to see that.
Didn't it close already?
It closed, and then remember I said everything I saw was closing? Well, the one just went off Broadway. Vanya and Sonia went from off Broadway to on Broadway because it was such a hit.
Oh.
And Smash because they made such a quick transition.
Yeah.
And it really was the same time frame as Smash, which made me laugh. That they were on Broadway in time for the nomination. Everybody had to, you have to campaign. And because people are, how you're billed, because you can get a refund. I'm going to bore you for just a second. But let's just say it says like.
just a second?
let me Christina Ebersole in Grey Gardens.
Okay.
If it bills it as Christine Ebersole in Grey Gardens, if ever Christine Ebersole isn't in it, you can get your money back because she's being billed above the title.
Oh.
It's very rare on Broadway. But then you would have the thing of like, what if it's not really a big part? She's just the biggest name. Then she has to apply to the Tony Committee to be a featured actress, even though her billing is here
above the show.
Which is why almost any time it'll tell you book and lyrics, book and lyrics by this, and then alphabetically in small letters underneath, it'll just give you the entire cast.
Yeah.
Or maybe somebody will get a box around their name. Because they don't want
to. And that's a call out.
They don't want you to give your money back. So if you're billed above the title, they have to give your money back.
Interesting.
And so I saw War Horse at the Vivian Beaumont, which is when you walk into and go down one flight of stairs, the Vivian Beaumont is the big theater in the Lincoln Center. And then you go down another flight of stairs, and there's another beautiful theater there, but smaller, in the same building. And the upstairs is Broadway, and downstairs is off Broadway.
That's so interesting.
It's just the number of seats in the house.
Yeah.
So all they had to do is move to a bigger.
Bump them upstairs.
All they had to do is go upstairs, and they'd be on Broadway.
Right.
Even though they're not on Broadway, they're on the other side of Columbus Circle. But
just take
funny.
A left. Don't go down the stairs and take a left, and you're on Broadway.
Yeah, there you are.
just fun. So it was fun to see that, and Sigourney Weaver, that I had been so close to her. I love her. So there you go.
It's coming up on 7:29. It's a Tuesday night. You're in studio with the show. I'm Clayton McKee, along with Katie, Marnie, and Al. We are got headlines coming up in just a few minutes. Also, drinking game at the beginning of hour two. The Death Watch, entertainment, and sports coming up. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Cue Talk America.
Are you as excited, maybe even nervous, as we are about the upcoming decisions that will be handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States later this month? Hello, I'm Randall White, host of Equality Radio here on Q-Talk America. In anticipation of what will surely be a historic day, the staff here at Equality Radio is hard at work putting together expert guests, background information, and legal analysis for a solid day of live coverage. We are greatly expanding our show that day to fit the occasion. We want to be sure you have a forum to express your thoughts as history unfolds around us. There may be no greater moment in LGBT history than what's about to happen. And Equality Radio on Q-Talk America will be here so we can all share it together. Tell your friends, family, and LGBT allies Q-Talk America is the place to be when SCOTUS makes its decision known. Stay tuned.
This is the Q-Talk America Radio Network.
All right, it is a look at some headlines on a Tuesday night, as we typically do about this time on Q-Talk America. A locksmith showers people peeing in the alley behind his shop.
There's a new protein shake.
Stolen car in Minnesota is found from Belgium.
There's a Florida woman, and there's an angry woman at Dunkin' Donuts because of it.
Proposed law would make revenge porn a crime.
10,000 photos, 90 days, in 40 cities.
And after 15 years, a man has a pencil removed from his head. These stories, and oh, much more, coming up right now.
That's fantastic.
These things you can't make up.
No, I can't wait for that last one there.
I don't remember what the last one I said was.
Pencil in the head.
Oh, yeah, got it.
That's a good one.
Well, we'll start out. sometimes we stay a lot on the East Coast with the crazy shit. Yeah. You know, I know we do, but I don't know. That's just how it works out. Well, a locksmith. Well, see, let's start the story. How it was typed up for me by whoever wrote it.
Migrant workers
working in the fields of Peru.
Thank you.
A couple of jokers in Pennsylvania have dealt with the nuisance of public urinators by turning the tables and a shower on all of them. About a year ago, the innovators of an Allentown-based locksmith shop grew weary of passersby relieving themselves in the alley behind their store. So to combat the issue, the unidentified men installed a shower that would pour water on anyone who tried to urinate in the alley. What they did is they hooked up a motion detector that gave them notice that somebody was in the alley. They had a hidden camera and a shower that they could control the angle of. So to add insult to injury, they filmed their actions of these people and put the clips of the embarrassing experiences up on the web. What followed were more than 24 clips of shame vandals getting a jolt of water from the shower as it turned on overhead. One man so shocked by the water that he runs directly into a wall before he scurries off away from the water. Another is so determined to keep urinating on the wall that he tries to move out of the way of the water, which just happens to follow him every time he moves. The offenders were not just limited to men, however, as several women were also caught in the rain as they tried to relieve themselves. One woman who came to the alley to treat it as if it was her own personal changing room was doused with water while she simply was trying to put on a blouse.
Oh, that's rude.
The video has been posted to YouTube separately over the past year by one user. But earlier this week, another put up a 4.5-minute compilation of all the videos, about 19 in total. The compilation clip was uploaded on Monday and has already seen more than 108,000 viewers.
Wow. I'm gonna be the next viewer.
If you go to the Show with Clayton McKee Facebook page, I have posted a link to this and a few other stories on our page. You can go to that.
Well, recently I've been about the last 10 months enjoying the protein shakes.
Yeah.
You have.
Yeah.
And, doing well.
You know, and for those people who didn't know what you were doing, you were shaking a protein shake on cam, right?
I was going
nothing
to say,
inappropriate here.
Nothing no. inappropriate
no,
here.
No, it just looked
that
weird.
Was one of the. There have been a number of tragic things I've done in this seat, but
we're gonna get that chair clean.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
I digress.
Oh, God.
All right.
One can of we them, put that shower on that chair?
Yes.
I was waiting for some water.
A Silkwood
shower. Flash dance kind of moment.
Yeah. All right, got it.
But there's a new protein shake, but apparently not real new. Goes back to Adam. Semen health benefits.
Okay. What? Excuse me?
It really does have all
come
the nutrients.
Come on, Eileen.
Or don't. The nutrients of a protein shake. Now, this is one that
I'm not sure about this story.
So apparently fructose, sugar, water, ascorbic acid, citric acid, enzymes, protein, zinc, and more.
And
those
more.
Are, and more coming to you. coming.
Whoa!
those are the nutrients found in the human male ejaculate.
Oh.
Almost hurled.
Sure you did.
I thought about all the protein I spit up years ago.
Spit up?
It was a long time ago. I gave it up for lunch.
All of a sudden,
Jesus.
You're sliding into Katie June's story territory.
Oh, no. I gave it up for Lent in 91. It's fine. Not even Catholic, but I thought it would be right for Jesus.
Of course it
would. Anyway, so I just thought, you know, that it was very interesting because of all the protein shakes. I had put something in here about protein shakes, and this came up, and I thought, no.
Okay.
The female squid, on the other hand, feels differently. They consume excess sperm as if it were food. And carrion flies, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, certain types of leeches, picture wing flies, and other creatures. Love.
Carrion usually means like a harbinger of the dead, doesn't
yeah,
it? Like
that's what I thought it was. Yeah.
It means you eat dead, like things that eat the dead.
That's what I thought it was. Amen.
I think.
Wow.
I'll
Google that for fun.
The semenology. There's semenology. It's a book. If
semenology.
Anyone
knows, I think dedicated. That's Jason Carlton's official scientific title.
By the way, speaking of Jason Carlton, it's a book dedicated for the bartender in your life who also happens to enjoy concocting semen cocktails.
You're kidding. This is a joke.
Do you have to use the word concocting?
Concocting. I thought that was great.
So, it is. From meat. It refers to dead and decaying flesh of an animal.
Gotcha.
And it's an important food source for large carnivores.
Well, Nature's Harvest, on the other hand, is a collection of semen-based recipes.
Harvest?
Nature's Harvest.
And it's actually getting some good reviews. And apparently Heather Locklear, you remember her
yes.
from back in the day, says it has anti-aging benefits. And she does look good.
So she's taking shots.
Or getting a
literally.
Shot in the face. Or just getting shot in the face.
From Wagner.
Yeah, keep that on
what's
my
Wagner's
mind.
Name? What's the husband's name?
Jack Wagner.
Jack Wagner.
Oh, Jack Wagner, right?
Oh, I forgot she was married to him.
Hey, never make fun of Heather Locklear. She is back. She exactly has one more shot of semen to get my skin back.
Okay. Just a little more time.
Just a little
give
more.
Me just a little more time.
To be sure.
I don't want to see your fist when you say that. So anyways... Strangely enough, she's been brought in to rescue yet another in show. I want to say Franklin and Bash has done the thing that all shows in the 80s did. Eventually, you will bring in Heather Locklear to raise your ratings. And now somebody in the 2010s has got the shovel, dug up Heather Locklear, and brought her back.
Oh, Lordy. Well, and apparently she's looking good.
Yeah, still doesn't look a day over 40.
TJ Hooker.
TJ Hooker.
Oh, my God.
Back in the day. I love TJ.
Well, isn't she also on, she's been doing appearances on Hot in Cleveland.
Oh, Heather Locklear?
Heather Locklear always
probably.
Works.
She was on Hot in Cleveland. She played the ex-wife of the advertising executive that Valerie Bertinelli's character winds up falling in love with.
Yep,
and she's crazy and she's going to kill her.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that does sound familiar.
I like it. I think you're right.
Yes.
So anyway, I just thought that would, we got to get that book for Jason, though. I think that's a good idea.
Wow.
Or maybe don't.
And you want me to follow that story? Really?
Franklin and Bash. She starts this summer.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
I like that show.
Well, let's go a little bit further back east again. Let's go to the old St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh, Christ.
Well, Jim Engelberg, Engelking, sorry about that, came home to his Summit Hill neighborhood home last Friday to discover that he was the victim of an unusual burglary. After swiping electronics, jewelry, and other things, thieves piled beer and frozen food into a cooler from his kitchen and even grabbed a random bag of jelly beans. Engelking says, though, his most valuable item was actually taken from the curb outside the front of his house. His prized 1998 red Volvo was gone too, but several days later, he credits the far-reaching powers of Facebook with helping find his stolen car. Jim's daughter, Katie, no relation to you, is studying abroad.
Katie, shocking. Thanks for clearing that
up. Studying abroad in Antwerp, Belgium, and just happened to be checking her Facebook this past week when a friend's status stood out from all the rest. Her friend posted a picture of a bad parking job, and there was this little red Volvo that looked exactly like my dad's car. So Katie took a copy of the picture and then sent a text with the picture to both of her parents asking, hey, is this dad's car? As it turns out, his Volvo was parked right outside a Goodwill store on University Avenue in St. Paul, right where the Facebook photo had captured it.
Oh, my gosh.
Even better, Engelking says the car thieves may have had some Goodwill of their own, leaving in the trunk a brand new pair of snowshoes. Apparently, they cleaned out the back seat and vacuumed the car for some reason.
They're a good Minnesotan. Yeah. That's why I got.
His daughter says the thieves probably did a good service because he keeps that car pretty messy with Diet Coke cans and Taco Bell wrappers. The St. Paul police.
But it's his prized possession. He shits all over it, but it's his prized possession.
Loves it more than anything.
The St. Paul police spokesman, Sergeant Paul Palo, says that more people are commonly turning to social media to solve crimes as opposed to posting flyers. So I'm guessing, going back to your dog capture, if you would have put it on Facebook, you might have found the real owner.
Patty Hearst would be living the life of
Patty Hearst is living pretty good life.
Yeah,
you know, she's okay. She's all right.
Wait, what's that?
We brainwashed the fuck out of her.
Stockholm syndrome. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, hold on a minute.
Yeah, you come over and she'll be like, she's fine.
I robbed the bank, but I wanted to.
Exactly. They didn't ask me to.
Engelking has said that he has not been able to yet recover his laptop, his wife's jewelry, or the stolen beer and jelly beans, but he says the recovery of his beloved red car is what's mattering the most. His daughter says that I think the best part is that I don't have to get him a Father's Day gift now since I probably saved him a couple grand on buying a new car.
Oh, isn't she thoughtful?
You know, she is. And
literally the least she could do.
I'm going to call bullshit on this one. I'm going to call bullshit.
Which part?
She still has to send a card.
The jelly beans. He doesn't care about that car. He wants his jelly beans back.
If they were gummy bears, there'd be a manhunt.
Yes.
We're going on a manhunt.
Oh, God, now we're going to do all flash dance. All
flash dance, that's right.
What a feeling.
I am rhythm now.
I am music.
Do you have any idea, Katie, what we're talking about?
I mean, I heard of flash dance.
No, yeah. It's like you've heard of World War II, but you weren't part of it.
I certainly wasn't there.
Yeah. Neither were we.
Well, we weren't.
But it's just...
For heaven's sake.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew that.
Okay, I knew that.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have it on vinyl.
She has that part.
Do you know what vinyl is, Katie? I have that.
I do, yeah.
I've got boots made out of it. Can you do something with that?
The boots made for walking?
Yeah.
Not a flash dance song.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
So 10,000 photos in 90 days in 40 cities. kind of sounded a little bit familiar with the idea of the no hate shoot and talking about how we had just recently been talking about that.
Right.
Well, there's a new movement, and it's the fuck you movement.
I saw a little bit about something about this, right.
Where they have stars flipping people off. Bird. And this is the picture.
Yeah.
So no hate has, the tape and, kind of all, and Adam was kind of, getting it, and everyone else was like, fuck you. Right. So right.
There's an Adam Lambert picture that I saw in HuffPost about that.
Adam Lambert.
You can't
Tim
take
Gunn.
Enough pictures of him. I don't care what your reason is.
He's done something also, not to distract from your story, please. But he's done something because he looks a little different. I don't know if he changed his makeup or he had surgery.
He got a haircut.
Because he looks different.
I know his hair is a little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. And he doesn't need surgery. That man is, he is sculpted out of heaven.
This edgy anti-bullying campaign wants to do 10,000 photos, 90 days across the 40 cities. Phoenix is not one of them.
Well, fuck them.
Yeah. I know, right?
First, fuck you.
I know, but there are a number of them.
Take a picture of that,
yeah.
Bitch.
Fuck you. You can't bully us.
Damn it.
But we could, we could chin out Chattanooga. So I don't know how far that is, or Tennessee. I don't know how far that is for Tyler.
I'm trying to Google. It's called the Fuck You Movement?
The FU, the new F word, an anti-bullying photo campaign.
I love it.
The new
F
word. I just don't, I'm not geographically, I'm a fucking idiot. So
where Chattanooga, Tennessee is?
No, it's compared to where Tyler is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so
Google Dollywood and then look for Chattanooga.
Yeah, right. Well, I wasn't sure where how close that might be.
I just love our references.
It's not in many, Minneapolis.
Pigeon
though.
Forge, isn't it?
Pigeon Forge. Good call.
Isn't that where he lives?
But not many shows on this network use references like Google Dollywood.
And then spread the map with your fingers gently.
Gently.
And they're all gay shows, but you're absolutely right.
Right.
You're the only one that's saying that.
Their reference is that when someone's being bullied, it says we want them to have an inner monologue of fuck you, I'm amazing. I don't need your approval. I thought that this was interesting.
I'm up for it.
I interesting really like
take.
The poster.
It's kind of like the stand your ground, but without a gun.
Right. There was this Lily Velasquez was called the ugliest woman in the world by cyberbullies. I don't know if you guys have
seen her,
anything about that. And she's now an author, a motivational speaker, and,
not yet a CoverGirl spokesperson.
Apparently not yet.
Two makeovers away.
Something like this. The interesting thing is 1 in 4 kids in the United States are being bullied. 160,000 kids stay at home from school every day out of fear of being bullied.
Suck it up, kids. Come on.
Right? 75,000.
How come we all made it?
Of all school shootings have been directly related to harassment, bullying. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. And you and I have actually talked about that before. Just the idea of what's the difference. Now people say, well, there's social media involved as well. And there's this.
Yeah, because you can't escape at
you
home
can't
anymore.
Get away from
with
it.
Social media. Like,
that's what I think the problem is because, having been. You get that reprieve. You get the nighttime. You get the weekends. You get the summer. You get your winter break when you're in your own cozy little home with your parents and your family. And that's what helps you cope with being at school
for the day. As long
as
the bullying doesn't also come from like siblings or
at home,
or family members.
But it does. I agree with you because it's happened for forever. But that has to be
But people were failing at it back then. I knew people that were like. But they graduated as complete social rejects because they'd been bullied into it.
Right.
Like
we had talked about this rather heavily, even a little bit over a year ago, because of what you had gone through or what you felt that you went through when you were in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you had shared with us. And, you and I looked at each other and we were like...
If it wasn't for drama school, I wouldn't have made... If it wasn't for drama, I would have never made it out of there.
Oh, that's probably the majority of my drama class.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. It was that same way.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know that for me it wasn't, you can look back and everyone can say, oh, look at Baby Dyke. But I had no idea. And that wasn't what anyone was bullying me about. It was about being fat. So it was about weight.
What's like we were talking
point.
about Brittany Griner? What's her name?
Griner.
Griner. Uh-huh. About her, like... Being a lesbian is probably like 19th on the list. Right. She's 6'10"
and has an arm span of like 18 feet. And
if she developed breasts early, like there's so many ways to pick on people that sometimes you don't even get to what the real problem. You know what I mean? Right. You don't get to dig deep enough.
Sure. Well, and when you have like the whole middle school thing, I was a D-sized chest by the time I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
Everyone else was in an inverted double A. You know, like, I mean, really, they were wearing their bra backwards. Like,
and we and we said that day. You know the name of the girl that developed first in your class because everyone picked on her.
Like, everyone picked on her.
Everyone did it.
Yeah. And you don't realize at the time that was because they were jealous. You know, wanted to. You know, they were hoping like. Well, I want to be that. People are stuffing
and
their bras.
And the boys didn't know yet how to react to something that was making them a little bit randy, but they weren't quite sure what that was. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, so all of that kind of stuff. So the bullying piece was there, but how you act and react to it and your family. I mean, my family was a huge reason that it was like, whatevs.
Yeah. But teen suicide's not – didn't start – again, this is like the cancer conversation we had earlier. It didn't just start. It's just that – once Oprah, once Donahue, once all these shows started putting it, now we're like, now we're just aware of it. Like the 50s weren't some golden happy days time where everyone lived in little houses and no marriages failed. Right. It's just that no one ever talked about it until...
And or kept statistics on everything, because now everything is data mined.
Right,
everything.
Right.
Yeah, but if you think about it, why would it take... So I graduated in 1988. Why would it take 25 years... To get to a point where, you know, everything that you're hearing about. I mean, Aaron has anti-bullying. I don't know if Tyler has the same opportunity.
Because people finally started to realize the damage it was doing.
Anti-bullying zone safe zone or whatever. She has all of that over the road.
How long has Facebook been around?
2007?
But it's not just that. It's just that people started to realize, like, this is an actual problem. Like, teachers, parents, everyone started realizing, like,
holy
shit.
Yeah, but when was Columbine?
99?
Whatever. Hello?
Right.
Like, shouldn't that have... You would think that would have popped up a lot.
I went to school in 85. Shouldn't there have been an anti-bullying...
Any movement...
You can always go back.
It just picks up steam.
You have
new generations of parents who... Now the parents are people that maybe went through it themselves, whereas our parents were just told to buck up.
That's a good point.
And now the parents, just toughen up. Well, no, that it didn't work.
Our parents...
Teen suicides kept on. People started using guns. Like... It escalated because people kept saying, "Oh, toughen up or punch them back." Like, no, there needs to be, we got
to punch them back. Right? I'm going to teach you how.
It's kind of like telling girls that it's their fault for being raped. Like, you should be tougher. You shouldn't join the military. Then.
Don't wear that.
No, teach them not to rape. Like, we always tell the victim to do something different instead of going at the person that's doing. And you went right to it. Buck up. Like, no. Stop the people from bullying.
Well,
like,
and the idea
a little bit of one-on-one is good.
The idea of 1 in 4, I thought that was really interesting because that means soon we'll all just be bullying each other, so no one should get their feelings hurt about
it. My point of the buck up is I'm not saying you blame the victim by no means. What I'm saying is because everybody and their brother cries wolf, if somebody blinks at you wrong, oh my God, I need protection.
Right,
I need something. That's what I'm saying, buck up.
Right.
I mean, just because somebody looks at you wrong once, twice, or somebody yells out a car window.
But that's not genuine bullying. Bullying is relentless, constant.
I think people are classifying everything as bullying.
I agree.
We're becoming oversensitized to it. But at the same time, when you meet like the girl that she just committed suicide like a couple of months ago. But if you look at that example, that there was no let up for that girl. It was just daily and constant. And finally, she just shot herself.
Done.
And her parents were like, "We went to the principal. We went to the teachers.
We did everything.
We did everything, and no one would stop it. Everyone just kept.
Kept going. And without the, forgive me for the bring it back to Michelle Bachmann kind of thing. But there's
that evil cunt's around doing anything.
Jesus. In Minnesota, there's an area, it's Anoka, Minnesota, and you can Google that if you want to, Miss Katie, because there was something, they had it all over CNN for a while, they did like a special on it, where all of this bullying, I mean, it was fucking crazy, and they were trying to write it into the books that you could be bullied, that teachers, I believe it is written in, that they can't do anything, they can't step in. They're supposed to ignore it if the word gay comes
used.
Up.
Because
that story.
Yeah. Remember?
And because they thought that you should be, because it was against the bullier's religious freedoms.
Yeah.
Because they have the religious freedom to be offended by gays, so they should be able to do that. And it really is a whole area. Yeah. And Cuntface Bachmann was all for it, because it's part of
her. I just wish that someone would, like,
shoot her in the fucking head.
Yeah, but people do bully her. I mean,
Tyler, we're not violent.
Sorry, Tyler.
I think the chat room died.
Something's up because I haven't seen it update in forever, and I've been refreshing this page.
anyway.
So there's that.
There you have it.
Well, let's go to something we talked about a couple weeks ago. It was a question posed to the panel from Al in regards to a bucket list. I found a bucket list story today. Let's go still on the East Coast. Let's go to Augusta, Maine, where a Texas couple has fulfilled a lifelong dream by visiting Maine to watch, get this, to watch the state legislature at work. Seriously. The Portland Press Herald reports that 86-year-old Marcine Webb and his wife, 81-year-old Nita Lou Webb, were in Augusta last week to complete their quest to visit every state capital in the union, and Maine was the last one. When House Speaker Mark Eaves announced the reason for their visit, the state representative stood and cheered the couple. The trip for the San Angelo, Texas couple was a 65th wedding anniversary present from their children.
Oh, that's exciting.
They will reach the anniversary milestone this August, but they've already taken the trip. They visited their 49th state was Juneau, Alaska, 5 years ago, but they had to stop for a while because of Mr. Webb's poor health. He has been feeling much better lately, and Nita Lou was quoted as saying that the people of Maine are, quote, honest and caring.
Wow.
So that's another bucket list completed.
There you go.
I like that.
That's cool.
A little civic responsibility.
Right, right.
And that's great, but if somebody bought me that for an anniversary present, I would also shoot them in the head.
But you'd have to also be into, like, state government or how government works.
Why wouldn't you? But if you knew that your parents, that's all they've done their whole life.
Right.
Sure. And they've just got the one more.
Yes, I mean, for I them, just said dad sure. Enough,
like know? If my Somebody, dad could have like, gone to every union factory in the country and watched gum being made, he would have done it. Sure. It would have been a dream vacation.
If somebody came to me tomorrow and said, I bought you a present, Katie, and I'm sending you to Missouri to visit their state legislature, we wouldn't be friends anymore.
Well, no, because it's a bad present for you.
Yeah. Do you want red velvet or the other one?
I'm good. That one's fine.
Okay.
Doesn't matter to me.
They're delicious.
Are these gluten-free?
But I just love that her name is Nita Lou.
Nope.
Yes, Nita Lou Webb.
Nita Lou Webb.
Nita Lou Webb.
Well, I think that's a fantastic quote. I liked it.
It was.
At the end.
Honest
that
and
they're
sincere.
They're very honest and sincere.
Yes.
So, did y'all hear about that Florida?
And if you gave me his lawnmower bucket right. list dream, I'd put a gun to
I guess,
your
yes,
head.
You're very right.
You'd get shot in the head. So, more Florida. Like, there is so much shit that goes on in
Literally
Florida.
Literally, every week, every day.
I don't...
My one woman boycott of Florida makes sense more and more every week, doesn't it?
Every time. So, did any of you see the viral... It's basically this rant. Like, this woman that went... the fuck off on this place in
Dunkin' Donuts in Broward County, Florida. Broward County, always a fun place.
I was
going to
send you the
audio,
but it was too much. It's 8 minutes long, and there was
and
too
you
much,
need like, to enjoy all 8 minutes.
You have to have all 8 minutes, so I may send it to you so you can put
just
it
like
on
our
page.
Facebook, right?
But it's seriously, she is fucking crazy.
Okay,
her name is Taylor Chapman, 27 years old. She apparently has done different videos for different chain restaurants and, you know, kind of PR stuff. She's definitely comfortable in front of a camera with anything and everything that she wants to say.
Okay.
So she had gone into a Dunkin' Donuts the night before or the evening before something, and they didn't give her her receipt. And apparently they have a sign up that says if you don't get a receipt, you get your food free.
Okay.
So she says to the woman, I didn't get my receipt, so I would like to have it free. And according to her, the woman responded, well, you can have yours free tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And so the woman just went crazy.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the next day went crazy. So she stewed on this all night.
Oh.
I can't even imagine.
Okay.
She walks in, and the guy that she berated, not only do I want to meet him and shake his hand, having all been in the service industry.
Okay.
He was phenomenal. Phenomenal with her. He kept his composure. I can't say I would have.
I cannot say that I would have.
No pun intended. He just glaze over and take it. Just take it.
Well played. I like it.
With a bountiful harvest or whatever it's called.
I like it. She went.
Harvest shoots.
She went off about the idea that she's like, and she told him right away, I'm filming this. I'm going to put this on Facebook. I can't wait to put this on Facebook. I can't wait.
She says it like it's going to make him look bad.
Right.
When she looks like a complete, she looks like
I've
she's going
to
explode.
This.
Okay, she does.
I'm going to have to see this.
And went off on things that didn't clearly makes sense. No. So she was very upset about not getting the free stuff and said, I want that free right now, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, okay. So I think she was expecting more of a response, and he's like, well, what can I get you, ma'am? I think I worked on your order yesterday, and you had a – the okay. And he was being all shades of accommodating.
Taking all wind out of her sails, yeah. But she just wouldn't have it.
At the most, you're at a dozen donuts yeah. and a cup of coffee.
At one
the
point.
The high end of the Dunkin' yeah. Donuts scale.
Strawberry culotta.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll have a small.
Yeah.
What? You dumbass. So
and whatever
at
the
point,
Dunkin' D's version of an Egg McMuffin is. Right. Yeah.
Dunkin' Muffin?
I mean, the guy was like, didn't you have bacon on it? She's like, yeah, I did. Yeah. I mean, suddenly it's all civil. And then she's like, I can't wait to post this on Facebook. And looks at the girl and says, weren't you the one here yesterday? You little fucking sand nigger.
Oh!
Now, I'm putting all that together, and that's a quote, but my God. And, like, goes through this whole thing and says it, like, 3 or 4 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, just goes off.
And this is after they've already said, we're so sorry.
We're going to take care of it.
We're going to take care of you.
Let me hit. And then she's like, where are my drinks? She's down at the other end screaming at the gal who had helped her and calling her all kinds of names. Where are my drinks? You could at least give me my drinks, because he hands her her food and he's nothing but polite. And he goes, well, ma'am, I put them down there where you were standing. Well, I can't see him from here.
You got to watch it.
I'm going to have to watch it.
Because I'm about to nuke your whole fucking planet from Mars. She sees after spotting the
worker. Was she Marvin the Martian?
Apparently. What?
The plutonium XJ communicator.
And I mean, I don't know what kind of drug she was on. You think you all are tough, big, fat Arabs bombing the Trade Center? I'll show you tough. This shit is about to go live, bitch, right on Facebook.
That was intentional racism.
But
intentional.
Intentional. She didn't even slip up. The best part is, and I still can't get over it, she keeps saying, I'm going to post this on Facebook so you can never have a job or a friend again.
Yes.
Oh, because anytime you apply for a job, and now that we know that like Big Brother has been watching us for a decade,
right?
This shit's going on every job application you have.
Does it by any chance, does the story by any chance say what PR firm she worked
the Happy Walk One. She was the spokesperson for this happywalk1.com.
Okay.
Was where you could you can see her looking actually quite
maybe
normal.
She'll get a job at Chick-fil-A.
It's like at one point, so this Dunkin' Donuts, he ran courteous to the whole thing. He needs to be given his own franchise.
Oh, he does. He was amazing.
Oh, is he that good?
He was so amazing.
No, because he doesn't react.
Yeah.
And I'm the fact that the one girl didn't come over the counter and just
When she said the
she's
sand.
She's like, were you the one who was here? Yeah, I was. I want my bacon crispy and I want my people to be nice, she mutters at one point to another customer. Shut up.
Oh.
I want my people to be nice.
And
I just accused you of taking down the Trade Center.
Right. Yeah.
I've called you probably the second most evil thing on the planet.
Right.
And she kept going on about, I have a degree in this and I have a degree in that, or not. She went to Nova Southeastern University.
She likes her coffee black.
Planned the plantation auto repair. She worked
like
for
a beige
them.
Savage. You beige savage.
Wait, so she worked for a PR firm?
It was she did public relations stuff, is how they put it in the other article.
She was doing a video on what not to do.
Right. So the thing in this story that really cracked me up is somebody, the link that I saw said, they need to send her to Amy's Baking Company in Scottsdale and let those two batshit crazies hash it out.
That went, and actually, she looked tame. Amy looked tame compared to this one. You have to see it. I'll send the video.
I do want to see it. We'll have to post it on our Facebook page.
It's all over Facebook today.
So apparently if you Google Dunkin' Donuts lady or something
crazy
in
no
Florida,
receipt.
You'll find
lady,
it.
No receipt.
Yeah, it's trending on Google. Pops right up. Yeah.
Okay. Katie June's got her finger on the pulse of Google.
Yeah.
It is coming up at the end of hour one. We've got 2 hours to go. This is the show on Q Talk America. I'm Clayton McKee along with Katie, Marnie, and Al. Thank you for being with us. We have so much more to come. We've got a couple more headlines to talk about. We're going to give you a drinking word in just a few minutes. And also, entertainment and sports. So much to do on a Tuesday night right here on the show. By the way, if you want to, you can now watch us live because we are up on our live video stream. You can listen live or chat with us in the chat room. Go to QTalkAmerica.com
and
click on
chat.
It. We'll be back in just moments right here on Q Talk America.
You've been listening to the show on Q Talk America. This is Q Talk America.
following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's The Show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
I don't know what you're laughing about. Hello, welcome. It is The Show. It's 8 o'clock, hour two, as we like to call it. You are live in studio on Q-Talk America with The Show. We do it every Tuesday night, 7 to 10. Thank you for listening, watching, downloading, and simply just playing along. Oh, let's see. Let's just take a little sample and see who all is live listening right now. Oh, we have... Well, still, let's just refresh this. Kuwait and the U.S. are still listening live.
Hi, Kuwait.
Hey, Kuwait. If you are listening in Kuwait, we'd love to know who you are. If you would, log on to our website and go to the chat room. Send us a message and let us know what you're listening to or why you're listening or what you're doing over there in Kuwait. Oh, my heavens. Well, thank you. We are in the middle of our headline segment, and had we wrapped up our crazy Florida woman story?
Yeah, she's... yes.
We've wrapped that up?
Yes, but okay. I just sent you the link.
Okay, we'll put that up on our Facebook about crazy woman Florida, Dunkin' Donuts, and I can't wait to put this on Facebook. Well, after 15 years, a man decided he better get something checked out because he had some issues. Doctors say that a man spent 15 years with a pencil in his head following a childhood accident that he doesn't remember. I guess it's... Achin University Hospital says that a 24-year-old man from Afghanistan sought help back in 2011 after suffering for years from headaches, constant colds, and worsening vision in one eye. A scan showed that a 10-centimeter or 4-inch pencil was lodged from his sinus to his pharynx, and he had injured his right eye socket. The unnamed man said he didn't know how the pencil got there, but he did recall that he fell once very badly as a child. The German doctors removed the pencil and said the man has recovered. The hospital spokesman, Matthias Brandstadter, said Wednesday that the case was presented for the first time at a medical...
Soon to invade Poland.
Right. The case was presented for the first time at a medical conference this past week, and that's why the story has just come out.
He presented some asshole with a pencil in his nose to a medical conference. Now, this... you said a bad word, so I can say one, too. This fucking retard had a pencil up his nose for 40 years. I'm assuming... I'm quoting how you present that to a medical conference.
That's funny.
But that's crazy. He doesn't remember the injury happening, but he remembers there being some fall, but he blocked out apparently that
part. Oh, that's
fuck started with a pencil up his nose.
What's also crazy.
Is he an author now? Or?
What's crazy about this is also... if you also Google and look up like injuries like pencils in a head, there are people... all over the place have injuries. There was a baby that fell, and apparently
a
drawing pencil or a crayon stabbed the kid in the head. There's all kinds of injuries from people with shit in their head. It's crazy. It's just crazy. It's not right. Pencils in your head. My God.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Nobody got time for that. okay.
His fucktard had a pencil up his nose since late in the Nixon
Just 15 years.
Oh, I thought you said 40 years.
No.
Oh, God. Every time he sneezes.
No, he was a 24-year-old.
He writes a poem.
24-year-old man.
Let me sign right here.
What? You have an itch?
We're assuming it went eraser first.
No, wait. The math doesn't make sense in this. The man says, 15 years with a pencil on his head, but he's 24, and he remembers falling when he was 4 years old.
Right. No, I'm sorry.
It doesn't say an age. Is it he remembers falling badly as a child? Doesn't say how old he was. My bad. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still.
He was 10 years old and fell, and all of a sudden...
And clearly...
Mom, where's my pencil?
I can't see so clearly.
My story has two parts. Ouch. And where's my pencil?
Mom! Can I get another pencil? What'd you do with your other one?
You need to go up.
Are you drawing me with your eyes?
Parker? What the hell? Porter? Potter?
Parker.
Palmer.
Yeah,
Palmer.
But you're very close.
Are you guys
I start with Rosie O'Donnell's children's name and work my way backwards.
Wait a minute.
Parker,
Potter. Potter was good. That's what I've not heard.
Oh, my God.
God. That was funny. All right.
Maybe he has a pencil up his nose.
Since late in the Nixon.
The '70s.
Back in the '50s. So that Ann Coulter.
I think it's a bad thing to have a bad number two. It's all in your head. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Ann Coulter, what?
Well played. That Ann Coulter, she's crazy. That Ann Coulter. You know, she's always coming up.
You off.
Yeah, she's always coming up with some of the neatest stuff.
Well, she has to make up for people
you're
like.
So neat.
Because now we don't have so much Bachman in the news anymore. She has to make up for
that's
that.
Right. And she probably will,
yeah,
actually.
Probably.
They'll pay a little bit more attention to her.
Yeah.
She decided to see that movie Star Trek that just came out.
Oh, it's my good. God.
Yeah.
Support the arts.
Support the arts, but not if there are, quote, unquote, too many minorities. She walked out.
What?
Because there were too many minorities in the Star Trek movie.
Is there anyone specific minority that she was opposed to?
Oh, go.
Or is she swinging a bat for everybody?
Yeah, just pick something that's not white.
Okay.
And that's it.
Hold on, I gave this to her. Let me help.
The only other, it says the current film, which opened yesterday, it's a reboot with JJ from directed by JJ Abrams. And apparently Sean Hannity, she was speaking with him, and he says, but I've seen this film, and although there were minorities, there were also plenty of whites. So, this is a conversation they had, by the way. So I guess I don't see your problem.
On a news station, too. Let's point that out. Right. This is, quote unquote, news.
Is this Fox?
Sean, the only other white people are foreigners, she says.
Oh, my God.
You got one communist from Moscow and a lazy socialist engineer from Scotland. There's only one red-blooded American white person in the whole movie, and thank God he's the captain.
The ship would fall apart without him. And Spock, the actor's gay, the character is Vulcan, which is code for Jewish. But it's not just characters.
Wow.
The whole Star Trek thing is a socialist plot to brainwash our children. I mean, no one actually owns the ship. No one gets paid any money. Everyone's equal. And they've been flying up there for years and still haven't seen God yet. Karl Marx would have been proud. Okay, the best part about this story is I fell for it, too. It's from the Daily Current.
Oh.
I didn't notice that right
but
there.
What
it's
I did.
Fantastic. I love it. Because it makes such good sense.
It does. It got posted all over Facebook as a true story like 2 days ago. And I read it because a couple months ago, the Daily Current did a thing where she got kicked off a plane because there was a black woman pilot. And she's like, seriously, affirmative action is going to drive us into the ground.
Literally. I read something about that with Michelle Bachman a while back.
And about the gay cruise.
The gay cruise.
That was
the gay
hilarious. Cruise.
So, God, but this story got legs. Right. And the guy from Quest for Love tweeted about it. Like it was trending on Twitter because the Daily Current, for the third time, and I can't remember what the third story is because it escapes me. I forgot to write it down. They've gotten away with it three times because they don't have the buzz recognition that The Onion does.
Okay.
Sure.
So their stories keep getting played as real. And the one story... Bachman reported on it. The one story from them, either Bachman went on Fox News and commented on it because she
That's
actually held
right.
a press conference.
Something.
Oh my God.
She had a press conference and somebody had to be like, excuse me.
That's not real.
That's not real.
Cunt face, you're reading a comic book.
Yeah.
Upside down.
Upside down.
I read everything.
What but I love this because it was trending all over Twitter, and I
That's
just happened
funny.
To catch it because people kept reposting it with their own comments. But I had to Google like three different times. Like finally I had to go to like Daily Current and be like, all right, what's the story on them? Because even I'm not as familiar. Turns out I've read some of their stories. I just never saw the byline.
Right.
And I'm sorry, who is that? They're
called the Daily Current, and it turns out we got to be reading them as often as The Onion.
Oh, good.
Because their stories are so close to the truth.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because, like, the Onion headline is today, man, despite the bullying from ticket seller, man insists on seeing After Earth with Will Smith. the Onion stories are so
they are great.
Delightfully fake. But this one, you're like, well,
it could be.
Like, well, she said such evil things about, like, the widows of 9/11. She has said such evil things about every single race of people that I would fully expect this reaction to
That was the reaction, and that whole thing, they're the ones that came up with the stuff about Bachman leaving Minnesota over the gay stuff.
Yeah.
The Daily Current. They were like, you know, they made this whole thing up that she was leaving because of Minnesota passing the marriage.
And it got reported in the news as a real story because they're just subversive enough
And it's so believable. Like, she because she's bad shit crazy enough to do something like that.
That you think maybe this is the new HuffPost. Like, you just can't tell.
When they did the story, and I totally read it because I thought it was real. When they had a picture and it shows them that where it looks like they may have been on a ship, and it's like Bachman's inadvertently booked themselves to gay 10-day cruise.
No, but her husband booked her.
Right.
Marcus did it.
So they did the quote about the interviewing the travel agent who felt really bad about booking it because when he came in, when Mr. Bachman came in and sat down and said he wanted to book a cruise for him and his partner, Michelle, he thought it was just the gay way of saying Michael.
And that makes such good sense. Again, it's not that off the mark.
It was. Oh, God. That was very funny.
I enjoyed that. I have one.
That's very funny.
I have one news story from Harrison that I need to share. God damn it.
You want me to read my story and then?
Yeah.
Well, let's go out to our friends out in California. They are they're all out there. They're a fruit or a flake or a nut. A law that would punish scorned ex-lovers who post online nude images of their former partners passed the Senate Public Safety Committee on Tuesday. That would be today. Senate Bill 255 would give California law enforcement their first tool to combat so-called, quote, revenge porn. Nude images posted online without the victim's consent with identifying information, and the purpose is only to harass or annoy said person. Cyber revenge typically happens after a bitter breakup, said Senator Anthony Canella, Republican, author of the bill. People who post or text pictures that are meant to be private as a way to seek revenge are reprehensible, Canella said in a statement. Too many have had their lives upended because of an action of another that they trusted. I think using the word upended is probably a bad taste. websites specialize in posting these photos and videos and charge the subjects, quote, unreasonable fees to take down the images, which I didn't realize that. A conviction of distributing revenge porn is considered a is a misdemeanor and would be punishable by up to 1 year in county jail and a fine of up to $1,000 or both, according to the bill. Several lawmakers signed onto the bill Tuesday as co-authors, a positive sign, according to the spokesman for California. As we shine a greater light on this program, more people understand laws that need to be changed to keep up with this technology. Spokesman Jeff Mercado said, technology has moved quicker than we are playing catch up. The bill was inspired in part by The bill was inspired in part by a 15-year-old Northern California girl who killed herself after three boys allegedly took pictures of themselves sexually assaulting her while she was passed out at a party, then posted the images online. 8 days later, Audrey Potts hanged herself.
Studeville, Ohio. What was it? Studefest?
I don't know that.
The one in Ohio where the girl...
Steubenville,
Ohio, where the football team raped the girl.
Oh, yeah.
And then posted the pictures.
Yep.
I always say, like, let the kids drink. You know, settle down. Let your kids drink so they don't end up, like, taking pills and slurping cough syrup till they're brain dead. But then I find out that these people have no realistic... And I still blame it on Melrose Place. They have no realistic relationship to alcohol. So just drinking till you fall down sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, if you're not at home and safe, don't drink till you fall down.
Right. Yeah.
Drink till it's time to go home.
Right. Like, a couple.
They don't get that.
Like, if you're at a party, like, try to have somebody with you that's not going to let you get raped. What the fuck? So I'm kind of, like, backing up on my let kids drink thing because...
You know, I don't know. Because I feel like it's really hard to say after that story ends with that... very tragic incident of the girl who hanged herself. It's very, very horrible. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, really have a hard time getting on board with this limited government Republican who sponsored this bill. You know what I mean? I just don't get it. We are all for limited government and stay out of, you know, I have a hard time. I just have a hard time with Republicans in general. And as I was listening to that story, I'm like, this dickhead who, you know, says that our president is like big government takeover. But you are now passing law about what people can put on the internet. And I get that it's very, very sad that people are posting pictures of girls that they're – or anyone's posting revenge porn. Like, that's terrible and stupid. But that we're passing laws about revenge porn.
You just have to get into, like, libel or slander. And I always forget which one's which. But you just have to find a way to make
libel is
– I can't remember.
It doesn't matter.
Google it.
Libel's written. Slander is spoken. Yeah.
I think so.
I always get those backwards. But the thing – you just have to wait for the laws to catch up to the technology and find out where you slip it under because you are – it is being published.
Yeah.
So you are publishing something and there are laws against it because you are – slandering someone, you're libeling.
I guess, but you're not allowed. So now the government is saying you're not allowed to. We're going to tell you. I don't know. It just seems like a.
We're on the slippery. I mean, we're on the slippery.
It's a very slippery slope.
Yeah, we're sliding right down it.
Yeah.
All right. So this is from Tennessee, I think. Yes, it's from the Don't Say Gay campaign. In an openly gay 11-year-old boy's campaign against a homophobic Tennessee representative has succeeded. And this Marcel Niergard is a Tennessee boy who was homeschooled for sixth grade and even contemplated suicide due to severe anti-gay bullying. And the Don't Say Gay bill was really against him. The bill was rejected in 2002, and they said absolutely not. And this John Reagan, R-A-G-A-N, no relation to the 80s fucker, he called it the Classroom Protection Act. And even though it failed, he was going to be given a Reformer of the Year award by Students First, a group dedicated to defending the interests of children in public schools and pushing for transformative reform. This 11-year-old started a petition on MoveOn.org to get the accolade revoked, and it worked. He got more than 50,000 signatures. The Bullied Youngsters campaign caught the attention of Students First, and today the group reneged Reagan's award and said, absolutely not. You are not a hero to anyone. You fucked hard.
Very nice. Mm.
So here's an 11-year-old. There's someone who bucked up. I mean, that's
right.
A great
Seriously.
Example of someone who said, got people involved and said, no.
Not in my backyard.
You know, we're not going to have Reagan sitting there saluting a Nazi soldier and call him some kind of fucking hero.
Right.
Sorry.
Absolutely.
My hatred of Reagan knows no bounds. And there's always time to fit in an I hate Reagan
there's
moment.
There's a way to do it.
Gotcha. Well, there's that. Okay, I think we've wrapped up our little headline segment. We have much more coming to you on the Q Talk America show, the show tonight, in studio with Katie Marnie and Al. I'm Clayton McKee. We'll be back with entertainment right after this.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
Are you as excited, maybe even nervous, as we are about the upcoming decisions that will be handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States later this month? Hello, I'm Randall White, host of Equality Radio here on Q Talk America. In anticipation of what will surely be a historic day, the staff here at Equality Radio is hard at work putting together expert guests, background information, and legal analysis for a solid day of live coverage. We are greatly expanding our show that day to fit the occasion. We want to be sure you have a forum to express your thoughts as history unfolds around us. There may be no greater moment in LGBT history than what's about to happen. And Equality Radio on Q Talk America will be here so we can all share it together. Tell your friends, family, and LGBT allies Q Talk America is the place to be when SCOTUS makes its decision known. Stay tuned.
This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but no. If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
I'm torn again this week.
But oh.
Our drinking word is going to be, damn it!
I like it. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yes. Damn it.
Inspired by my Friday night talking to someone, and the question came up to the group about meth, and out of nowhere, somebody goes, I want to dance with somebody who loves me, damn it! And I was like, oh, they might be on meth.
Yeah, absolutely. Hi, Whitney Houston.
I want to dance with somebody who loves me, damn it.
That's
it was complete non sequitur. They were just standing behind us, tweaking out and screaming.
Wow.
But Stacey's was lovely the other night. And there was only one tweaker in the whole place, and I think he left.
To dance with somebody, apparently. Yeah.
That loves her, damn it.
That was funny. So drinking word is damn it.
All
right. Like as we continue on, it's 8:20 on the show.
And damn it! Okay, get this. Joan Rivers and the Palins are doing a wife swap. For real.
Stop.
For real. And we are all watching it possibly together.
Yeah.
The Tonys have their biggest audience in 4 years. The Purge is the weekend winner with a gigantic haul. This is the End has opened. And y'all need to see it. The Critics' Choice Awards, they were nominated last week. They won today. Who had time to buy a dress? Not me. There is more, but I don't know where I'm hiding it.
Love it. Okay.
That's a good ending. Wait, who had time to buy a dress? Not me. And then just silence.
Who's swapping with Joan Rivers?
It's Joan Rivers and Melissa Williams are swapping with the Palins. So Sarah's got to go live. I don't know how they're working it. But somehow Joan Rivers is going to eat elk meat. That's all you need to know.
Wow.
That is must-see TV.
I think that we're all getting together. We have to.
That's got
to
have a drinking word.
Yeah.
Elk meat.
Or it's like moose calf or something. Damn it! I don't even know how they're going to do it.
Joan says fuck a lot, so maybe that'll be the word.
Oh, the whole show just beep.
Yeah.
Beep.
Gotcha. Beep.
Federal advisory.
It's like,
this is not.
They always say that they're gonna finish out Dexter by putting it on CBS for 7 years, but they'd have to eliminate the sister because she's just one long curse word.
Right.
You would just see this pretty redhead and go.
From what you've said to me,
it'd be underneath a thing. The Tonys have their biggest ratings in 7 years. They broke the 7 million mark, and so everybody but the Grammys had a better year this year as far as award shows go. And the Grammys were competing against Whitney Houston being dead, so that's kind of unfair. Well. They didn't have a big crack whore die the day before.
Wait, why do you think that happens, though? Because I, for one, and I can say why I probably watch the Tonys. I never watch the Tonys. It's just, and I love musical theater, and I love theater. But, like, this year I was more invested than ever, and I'm almost certain that it's because of you.
Right,
because
that's all I talk about.
But I am wondering. I've been more interested in the award shows this year. always now, I know, because of you. But why are other people?
Well, Neil Patrick Harris is a big part of it. You know, he's on a big hit TV show. Right. He's getting a better reputation as he goes along.
Yeah, people
Everyone knows how good he is, how clever it is. And they're not getting huge numbers. They were like at 7.4 million. I mean, we're still not at like...
Seems pretty big to me.
Right. If you're on NBC, it's huge. On CBS, these are paltry. But this is an award show that a few years ago was delegated to Bravo. Like, they couldn't until Rosie O'Donnell, like, fished them out of the pond. Like, they couldn't get a show on anywhere. So you had to really search to find the Tonys. It's really a niche market that they're bringing back, and they're getting big stars. There's movie stars competing.
Lots of celebs. Yeah. I noticed lots of celebs. Yeah. It looked in the audience like a smaller version of the Oscars.
Right, because if you really want people to take you seriously as an actor or actress, you have to go to Broadway.
Yeah,
like, you have to go on the boards. There is no substitute for 8 shows a week live.
Right.
And it was rumored that was one of the things that cost Jessica Chastain her Oscar, is that people were, she was in the, remember, she was everywhere, buy one Jessica Chastain, get one free. Damn it.
Damn it.
That her in The Heiress, she wasn't very good, and she wasn't nominated for Best Actress, but people were getting to see her. It was a big ticket. It was a celebrity, and that she wasn't terribly good.
Mm.
So did that kill her Oscar chances? Because people were like, well, she's not that good as an actress. Okay, so then the Entertainment Weekly provides us with the big numbers in the Tonys, and just any time Mike Tyson shows up. And he had a one-man Broadway show that Buddy was all about because
I remember.
It was by the guy that gave us Bird last year about Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And so just, I don't know if this will load up because this particular page has a hard time doing it. But for us, the highlights were, of course, the opening number was fantastic. And it was every musical currently on Broadway on one stage. And just a phenomenal opening number. And the lyrics were crazy.
And it was.
And Neil Patrick Harris does acrobatics.
He's just good.
He really is.
He's entertaining.
Good.
Yeah.
People want to cheer for him. He's fun. Really fun.
I have to say, the number from Kinky Boots did nothing for me. The choreography was nothing fantastic, except for they walked on treadmills that moved.
No.
I haven't gotten
that was my
part
favorite
yet.
Part. There was mechanical stuff, like they were doing stuff. I thought it was great.
No, but I was expecting more from everything I heard.
From Jerry Mitchell choreography,
Do we wonder, did they just choose a scene? Because that was the end of the first act, correct?
Right, and you choose a big scene that either shows like the big number from the show, like whatever is getting all the, what they want to
two
be a hit.
hit. You hear the people
right.
sing?
Right. That would be what you would pick from because it's the finale of Les Mis. Yeah. You would do the finale number that doesn't give too much away. But this was just, it was very, I thought the choreography was lackluster. I thought the number from Pippin was...
I think I saw the Pippin.
Yeah,
piece.
But you're opposed to Pippin to begin with, aren't you?
I just don't like that music. I don't. Yeah.
I'm excited about seeing it again.
I do want to see it because I like the circus act. And I think the stage is going to be good. But it's like Phantom of the Opera.
Wait, can
dress up that pig any way you want to. Those songs are still shitty.
We've got magic to do.
Stop. Yes, got it. That's it. Because that's the worst song of
I've
all.
Only ever seen, I've only ever seen pieces of Pippin in a... I've only ever seen pieces of Pippin in a big musical review. So I've never seen Pippin.
Like in a medley?
Yes.
And that is, it's the best way to see it. It's like The King and I. It should be a stage
and
concert.
And that's how I've only seen Man of La Mancha, although they are coming to the Orpheum.
Go see that, because that one works.
Yeah.
And for people our age, not your age, but our age, The Impossible Dream is about spaghetti sauce. All you can picture is Anna Maria Alberghetti singing about that goddamn spaghetti sauce in the 70s. So to hear...
That's funny.
Right. But to hear him sing, to hear him come out and sing it after he saved a woman from rape and he's done all these things and he's beaten to
the
ground.
I'm already on board with that one then.
Cicely Tyson wins Best Actress in a Play. I wasn't rooting for her, but then she's Cicely fucking Tyson.
Seriously.
Yeah, so she won. And that was nice.
How old is she?
Where did we say?
We looked it up.
78. She's old.
Stand by.
Yeah, but because were we going to put her on the list?
No.
What's happening?
Well, actually, we wanted to put her on the list.
I actually thought she had died years ago.
I knew she was still alive, but she kept talking about this was her bucket list. This was her bucket list. She's going to die when she walks off stage.
Right, because she's done.
I thought The Color Purple, because she always plays like a 9-million-year-old person.
She's not in The Color Purple.
79. Cicely Tyson, currently alive in 79.
What am I thinking
she's
of?
She's in Roots.
No, I know
but there's
that.
A lot of black people in that, too.
I know
too.
That.
It's hard to get confused.
I thought that she... I'm looking that up.
Damn it!
I feel like I am correct.
Okay, the showstopper about TV shows that stopped was...
I want to go back to the Tonys really, really quickly.
We're still on it.
I'm sorry.
That's another segment. Yeah.
So everybody came out and did a number.
If you're actually on a show.
It was
And they
awesome.
Did all
and that was
song
the guy
parodies
from
the New Normal from Smash. And then Laura Bonatti... I don't know her, but
she was really funny.
She's very funny, and she's very good.
Because she's lost twice, or had two shows canceled.
But actually, three. I found a third one. It was called the year that, is it FX that does It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia? Mm-hmm. That was paired with a show called Starved about people in an eating disorder clinic, and it was hysterical.
Uh-oh.
And in the worst possible taste, back when It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia wasn't in that bad of taste. Mm-hmm. And they canceled Starved because it was too offensive, and then they took It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia to a place that you can't watch that show with anyone you even
Way
like.
Way past the line.
Because it's so offensive. But so she's phenomenal. But I saw her in Into the Woods about 10 years ago as the baker's wife, and she is... She's another one of those true talents. Tracy Letts gets the Best Actor Award, and we were all like, huh? Like, we'd all heard the name. All of us in the room were like, well, we've heard that name before, but he's not an actor. He wrote best. He's been winning plays for writing plays. He's a writer. This is his first acting job ever in his late 60s. Finally, he was like, well, you've written a lot of good shit. You want to take on the hardest part I've ever written on Broadway? You want to be George and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? And he won a Tony from Tom Hanks, which
That's
was
really
supposedly
awesome.
Going to be the no-brainer of the night, but that didn't happen. Billy Porter wins for Kinky Boots, which, as you know, not a friend, but an acquaintance of mine.
Yeah.
And because he's been kind of a sort of a... also ran for years around town. Matt News, everybody knows him from bars, and everyone's
That's
kind
really
of
cool.
seen in places, and he's very friendly, and
it's
it was a very
exciting.
Nice speech. And Jerry Mitchell, who had put him in something that got canceled because of 9/11, brought him back for this, because he's 42 years old, so he's no spring chicken. The Tap Dancing Kids from A Christmas Story were fun. That was really good. I didn't care for that, so I'm not going to repeat it. The Cinderella Quick Change, which turns out save your money, because the only thing that was worth seeing in Cinderella was supposedly how that dress changes.
Yeah.
And
we saw it.
We saw it. So you're done.
And it wasn't even that cool. Like, I mean, it was cool, but as I was watching, I was thinking, I was thinking, I bet that's supposed to be a really cool moment. But it just kind of, I was just like. Eh.
Well, because Victoria Clark had such a hard time with her dress, and she kept playing with the tail. Like, her dress just wasn't. The train, it just wasn't going right.
Didn't work like
so then you knew that something else was coming with the dress
right.
because they'd already done it once and it wasn't flawless. Audra McDonald, who is the only person I've ever bought a CD and tried to take it back because she just, I don't know what the hell she's singing, but I don't care for her. 5-time Tony winner. Like, the woman has Tony's coming out her ass and she's like 10. But at the end, when she did the duet with Neil Patrick Harris,
right,
and then just boomed the mic down, and we were like, finally, she's a black woman.
Yeah.
Racism.
But how
intentional.
Damn it. How fantastic was that?
It was, and it's been.
How do you learn that?
Well, it's all on prompter, obviously.
Well, but even still, you have to.
Right, because just reading it, but singing it in tune and then getting the rap. Yeah. Right. And he was
rapping it. Right.
Like, all of a sudden, you've got a white boy rapping, and you've got her singing in that weird-ass opera voice that no one understands.
I don't know who she is.
Singing.
She was on for years private practice. Because she's one of those people with the. She's this great, talented
singer. I loved
her.
And I had no idea she was Broadway until she presented the first award. And, and she came out, and I'm like, oh my God, she's Broadway. I had no idea.
Five-time Tony. This woman has five Tonys already.
Singing it to the tune of Alicia Keys' New York, and all she does is sings the hook of, we're singing songs we just made up with lyrics we made up. Just, it's really funny. If you catch what she's singing, it's really, it's genius how they write that.
It's genius. And he does it every year, and it's turned into the Billy Crystal Oscar, who will win. Like, you're waiting to see how they fit in all those things.
And then he says a line of, now you're watching Audrey McDonald sing in front of an image of herself or something.
It was crazy. Yeah. And then the Critics Awards came out, and these are the ones that we announced last week, and now they're already out. So I guess there's no turnaround on these. Critics have something else to do this summer besides wait around for people to show up and accept an award. Best Comedy Series, Big Bang Theory, Actor Louis C.K., Actress Julie Louis-Dreyfus. If none of you don't know, she's a billionaire. Turns out the Dreyfus part of her name, she's a big fucking deal. Google her. She's literally a billionaire.
Huh.
She doesn't have to work ever at all. Supporting in a comedy, Simon Helberg from The Big Bang Theory, one of the nerds. There was a tie in the supporting actress, and it was Kelly Cuoco for The Big Bang Theory and my girl Eden Scheer from The Middle. Finally get some recognition for just one of the greatest things going.
Oh, I went to type in Julia Louis-Dreyfus millionaire, and the only thing that pops up is actually Julia Louis-Dreyfus billionaire.
Oh.
Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah, she does.
Google's on
she
it.
Does not need to be working. Let's see what came. Best movie behind the candelabra. Actor in a movie or miniseries. Michael Douglas. Best actress in a movie or miniseries. And this is Top of the Lake. Elizabeth Moss. It's on streaming on Netflix. Find it. It's by Jane Campion. Holly Hunter's in it. It just came out a couple weeks ago. It's on my list for this week while I'm off, and you just got to see it. Supporting actor in a movie miniseries, Zachary Quinto for American Horror Story, and then Sarah Paulson won for American Horror Story 2, which I think she is the shoe-in for the Emmys this year for carrying American Horror Story through a weird season, but I think that's going to be good. The Purge. This is an interesting, interesting movie. Maybe not the greatest movie ever.
I really would like to see it. I feel excited about it.
It's not a horror movie. It's suspenseful. It's a little bit of a thriller, a little bit of a chase movie within a house. But it really is about the 47% or the 99%. Like, something has happened that we have new founding fathers and we have these new laws. And one day a year, all emergency services take the night off. And you can commit whatever crime you want to. And it's to purge all the feelings of anger, like the Dunkin' Donuts lady would be able to stab somebody on that one day.
Wow.
And you get to work out all your emotions. And so this one family that sells security systems is locked in for the night. And the children have questions about why do we do this? Because they're too young to remember before they did it. And it's televised like a Hunger Games kind of thing. Yeah. And it was a very interesting premise. I mean, it's by these guys, and they're called Blumfield or Blumhouse Productions. They did all the paranormal movies, Insidious. I can't remember what the other – there's another one, Insidious and another one. But this movie was made for $3 million. So this movie could tank.
Yeah.
It was made for less than a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
This movie could tank and still make a huge profit. Well, it made $36 million.
Wow.
And they were projecting it at about $20 million, and it made – a huge amount of money. And I went and saw it last night or the night before. It was good.
Okay.
Solid movie. It's not a horror movie.
Yeah.
Just get
That's good because I would like to see
Sinister.
It. Kelly hates horror.
Sinister is their other one. But it really is. It's just edgier seat. You kind of know there's a twist at the end that you kind of figure out almost immediately that it's coming.
Right.
But then it kind of ends as a comedy. Like out of nowhere you get this hard-hitting satire comedy and some good solid laughs out of the last 5 minutes, which I was not expecting. And the movie was kind of like could go direct to video and they would be happy. No matter what happened, the people that made it were happy. They didn't put that much money
and
into it.
How much did they make, you said?
$36 million
in the
first weekend. And it's got good word of mouth. It's going to play horror. There's nothing else to compete in the horror market. It'll play for
I just
mouth.
Like when it says.
They came out with news for the sequel. On Sunday night.
Oh, wow.
Sunday night, they were like, sequel. Because we just made enough to make four sequels and still not cut into anybody's paycheck. Sure. Craziness.
I just like their tagline. But think of all the good The Purge does. And I'm like, ooh.
And they say that throughout. Like, oh, and they're going to lock down. And they watch it. But the fact that they watch it on TV. And what I liked about, like, The Hunger Games to me, I always talk about this. It sucked because, like, they're slashing people and cutting them, but there's no blood and everything.
They didn't show, right.
They gently fall down into a beautiful teenage death, like you're watching Twilight. Right. These people, and this is like Django Unchained. When someone gets shot, they get fucking shot.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a hard R rating.
Yeah.
If somebody's got a machete, you know there's a machete in the room. Like, there's no joking around about. I just don't.
Then they cover in flowers.
Right, exactly.
And she goes to the heavens.
I want repercussions. If you're going to use a gun or whatever,
may I just?
Yeah. Oh, go.
Damn it!
we've gone a while. You're right.
Sipsy.
Thank you.
Sipsy. I was thinking of Fried Green Tomatoes.
Oh, yes. Oh, she is so good in that.
She's so good. In that.
Oh, that was the Cicely Tyson thing you were doing.
Yes.
With? Got it.
And I'm looking. I'm like, I know that it's
relation
and
to Mike,
a lot of
right?
People.
No relation to Mike that we know of?
Who knows?
They don't have the same tattoo.
Got it. Well, there's that.
Not yet.
And I still can't figure it out. I'm so confused by moviephone.com today. I don't know if it's tonight at midnight or tomorrow night at midnight, but Superman opens, which me and Barbara Seville are very excited
about.
Barbara's there now. Barbara posted on Facebook. She's already there.
Oh, so it is tonight. So some of the theaters were going earlier than midnight for tonight, for the opening then tonight.
Yes. Okay.
So there was a couple theaters that had earlier. There's a couple of midnight showings.
She's at the Seneca Pre right now watching it.
What makes this one better than any other?
He's really hot.
Superman.
Oh, but they've all been really hot.
Well,
Henry Cavill he's been called the unluckiest man in Hollywood. He was almost the next James Bond. He was almost the next Batman. And he kept losing the parts. Then he labored on the Tudors as the hot friend of Henry VIII for a few years. And then finally he got cast in a big role. But it's Zack Snyder. And the last one, I liked it. I liked Return of Superman or whatever it was called. With hot guy Roush. Can't think of his name. Brandon Routh.
And are there different stories? I don't go see these movies. I'm not into superheroes.
I'm
but,
not either.
But I don't get it. Like, why do we need to watch the same thing over and over?
It's usually not. Like, it depends. Star Trek. It's where you take off. Like, Superman Returns. I think it was called Superman Returns.
Sounds right.
It sounds right. That was like the sequel to Superman 2, which was the really good one from the old Superman movies where they just took it. They pretended like nothing else ever happened in the Superman universe. And this is giving you an origin story again to restart the franchise. Because I guess the $200 million that the other one made wasn't enough, so they needed to reboot again and get somebody else. But it's Zack Snyder who did the 300, and just like I never thought I would ever see another Batman movie again. And then they got Christopher Nolan involved, who produced and his brother helped write this script. And I was like, I do want to know what Christopher. If Christopher Nolan wants to make a movie about gardening,
right?
I'm going to show
it out. Well, Kelly already has tickets for Sunday. She bought them like last week. She is so excited, but I just.
They're fun.
It's just not my thing.
And they're usually good. They're not sometimes bubbles. I won't. But like the Batman movies are phenomenal.
Oh yeah, she's into those. The Spider-Man, the Avengers, the Iron Man, whatever.
Yes,
loves the comic book.
I'm not
book,
into all of them, but that I went that way. And I usually look for Christopher Nolan. But This Is the End is also opening with everybody. It's Seth Rogen, James Franco.
Oh my gosh, that looks hilarious. I really want to see
it. They're all playing versions of themselves in some kind of an apocalyptic moment in Hollywood.
No. It looks so funny.
With everybody's good. And Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who I absolutely love, actor extraordinaire.
Yes, because they all are someday, themselves.
Darling.
Someday my husband.
Yes, exactly, they all play themselves, right? And that's the whole thing is they're like all at a party and then the world ends, but they're
overplaying their own personalities and they're playing off their own egos.
Who's the black guy that's from The Office?
Mike Tyson. Intentional racism.
Yeah.
Damn it.
And that looks really good. But Joseph Gordon-Levitt recommended. He actually went on and did a blog on Facebook about how much he loved it at the premiere.
Oh, that's cool.
So last night I'm at the movie theater. I'm like, I want to see either Superman or The Purge or what do you got? What are you selling? And they're like, you can see The Purge. Those other movies aren't open. I'm like, well, Movie Phone says they're here.
Oh, bastards.
Yeah, I got the Dunkin' Donuts response to that.
Yeah, apparently.
I can't wait to post this.
He was on the other side of the
camera. Damn it.
And then just a bit of my sister and both my nieces are listening. So Nancy, Marissa, and Megan are all listening. For some reason, they're not in the chat room, or they may be, and I just didn't go there.
I haven't seen them. I'm
my
looking.
My sister and nieces.
So Tyler needs to tell me if he, because he asked me about The Purge last week. He was the one that suggested it, and I went looking for it. So I wanted to know if he, what his thoughts were on it.
I have a couple of their entertainment
yeah, please.
Pieces. And actually...
Because I'm done. That's okay. All I got.
So I wanted to just revisit the Tonys really quickly. I feel like Bring It On the musical is going to make me want to jump off of a tall building. Right?
Now, our friend Matt said it was very clever.
Okay. I was really, really surprised when I was in New York the last time. It was a long time ago. And we really wanted to see a Broadway show, and everything was sold out, and the only thing that we could afford, you know, last minute was...
Legally Blonde.
Thank you. And it was great. I was really surprised. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if it's like that, like you go and you're surprised at how good it is, or if that movie was just so stupid, why are you making this?
Oh my God, Bring It On cracked me.
I love that movie.
I just don't get it at Broadway.
It's a big cheerleading show.
Okay,
with
so the dance, the stunts, like I was thinking it in regards to that piece, like the choreography is, I'm sure, wonderful.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm skeptical about it.
Yeah, and I would. That's one of those ones that I would be skeptical to. But Matt went and saw it, and he said it was fun. He liked it.
Okay, like Matilda. I'm excited about. I can get on board.
I saw that. Like, on
see,
that
I think that
that's
cute.
That's gotten really good reviews. And honestly, they really thought that
looks
was
cute.
That was supposed to be the shoe-in for best musical. So Kinky Boots was kind of an upset. But they opened late. They didn't get there till March.
I don't know. It looked like it would bore me senseless. So yeah. I don't know.
The other thing that made me my favorite part, again, I'm watching it in spurts. I still have not seen the ending because I
only damn it.
Damn it. Damn it. I only have it taped in the bedroom, and I don't like to. I'm not in there in the day, so I'm only watching it at night when I'm like falling asleep.
Porn.
Yeah. Well,
no. Yeah. The internet.
If it was up
porn.
To me, there would be no TV in the bedroom, but that's a whole other thing. It's just like not a TV place.
I took mine out.
So but what I really loved, my favorite part aside from the opening, was the failed TV show
segment.
I just thought it was so clever and so smart, and I loved two of the three shows that were represented. And I was really sad about Smash being gone because I felt more invested in the Tonys. I have, you know, been feeling more invested because I get it. Like, even though what I'm seeing on Smash is only another TV show, I feel like I have a better understanding of Broadway, of how a show is produced,
and the politics.
Of how a show is made, of the politics of it, of and your
the whole process
campaigning for the Tony and the whole thing, and how, you know, you've got some producers and some directors and how important those people really are in Broadway. I just feel
and those
like,
last minute sneak opens. That's what fucks everybody. Like, and we talk about it I talk about it with the Oscars all the time. That there's a great performance like 42, the movie 42 from a couple weeks ago.
Right.
You're too early
in
the year. No one's going to remember because the Oscar movies are all going to come out at the week of Christmas, and they're going to come out in little theaters. Like, they'll play there 1 week in LA, and then they won't hit mainstream America. So Marnie will never have heard of them by the time they're nominated.
Or me.
I got your name right though. While I insulted you.
Thank you.
He walks all at boredom. By it. I'll have trapped him in a corner. So they get
okay,
these movies
Adam,
come up and steal their thunder. So that's happened before. Like Ragtime, the musical opened and was phenomenal, and everyone thought this is the Tony winner. This is the greatest show that's come along in years.
Yeah.
And then The Lion King swoops in, opens in March.
Sure. Speaking of which, got our tickets.
Tony.
Got our tickets to Lion King.
Oh, good girl!
So
damn it
about that.
Oh,
it's damn it!
And have you seen it or no?
I have. I was center. It's second row.
I thought
center
I remember
stage,
you saying
and
it.
That just it mesmerized.
The best place. You already bought your tickets,
tears.
But the best place to see it is the balcony. First row,
Aaron,
the balcony.
Aaron got them, and she had worked at Gamage for years and years. So I always just go, you pick where, because she, you know, when she looks at all of them, she's like, no. No, yeah, so
yeah, because I always
feel like
I always do that
okay
too.
One.
There's shows I want to be up close. There's shows I want to be like back center, and that's the only show I've ever seen where you should see it in the balcony because
the
birds
really
are up
the
there.
Full.
The parade
and I'm
goes
sure
underneath
we missed
you.
Some things,
and
but I was like a 4-year-old. I was like,
oh
my
yeah,
God. It was.
Oh,
crazy.
It is because everything's going.
Yeah.
Most of it's going on behind you, so you want to sit because where did we see that? We saw it at the New Amsterdam Theater. And Matt and I saw that. We sat outside in the heat in New York and waited in the cancellation line. We got tickets to a show that had been sold out for years, but you just wait there for people to, like, cancel their tickets and stuff.
It's brilliant.
We got in, and, like, the puppets are going, and we were the front row of the balcony. The puppets are all around us. The whole parade went on in front of us. We didn't have to, like,
burst into tears, right?
And then Pride Rock, spun up. And then the rest of the first act sucked. The show didn't get good till the second act because we had the two worst child actors in modern fucking history. Okay. I couldn't wait for those two to either die or grow up. I'm like, there's got to be an animal that can eat them. Some animal on the Pride, the Savannah, should come along and pluck them up.
Where are the hyenas? Damn it!
Yeah, damn it! Doesn't anybody eat these King of the Jungle, my ass. But then when I saw it here at Gamage, I've seen it twice at Gamage, and I liked it better here at Gamage than I did on Broadway. I really did. Because the child actors didn't make me want to hurt
myself. I'm
going to
sit in the cancellation line. That sounds fun.
Just beautiful.
So, I was sad about Smash. Moving on, television. Game of Thrones, what the fuck? Anybody?
Yeah, I've not watched it.
Anyone? Nope.
I've seen the billboards.
Somebody said it's in the books.
Everybody's talking about, like, how amazing it is. So Kelly was looking for a new television show. You know, she keeps TV on in the back. And she goes, I don't get why people like this. She had tried three times to watch.
Isn't there, like, a hobbit in it or some shit?
Because there is a midget.
There's a little person.
Who's, by the way, 44 today.
Peter Dinklage. See the station agent. Yeah. He is a fantastic
actor.
He's
good.
No, absolutely. That's just all I've seen.
Right.
I mean, I was turning channels and I went, what the fuck is this? There's a hobbit.
Kelly tried to watch it.
At which point, it was Game of Thrones.
Tried to watch it three times and couldn't get through the first episode because there's, like, weird ghosts and they're fighting in the forest with nobody and she didn't get it.
Yeah, so, like, mythology kind of stuff. Yes?
Yeah. Yes, oh, yeah. And then, so she finally gets through the first one and then gets into, like, the second and third and she goes, She's like, I don't get why people like it, but I do, because it's, like, incest and rape, and I'm like...
Which is terrifying.
Rewind. Did you just say, I get why people like it because it's incest and rape? I don't feel like... I all of a sudden
it's
turned
into... It's like watching The Royal Family, but with fairies.
I all of a sudden turned into this, like, crazy chastity belt Mormon. I was just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I was, like, really upset that she thought that this was all of a sudden good. I'm like, it was bizarre. I didn't even recognize my own self for being so conservative. But I'm like, I can't believe that you're into a show that's promoting violence against women, incest, raping children. I haven't watched any of it. But
They killed off the entire cast in the season finale. They're calling it the Red Wedding. Like, everybody from Whoopi Goldberg on down has been
Goldberg was in it?
No, Whoopi Goldberg likes sci-fi, so that's one of the shows that she really, like, champions.
Okay.
And they literally killed off almost the entire cast.
Good. And they should have.
Yeah.
Any television show that is, like, people are enjoying a show where all you're watching, where you, a main part of it is gratuitous nudity and sex. So go fuck yourself, HBO. And incest and
that's,
rape?
Damn it! That's Rome, that's Oz.
It's fiction.
That's
all fiction.
I know, but it's
rape. SVU?
Like, rape of young girls?
Yeah.
SVU?
And again, that's where we talked about that other show. I know, why do I love SVU?
I love SVU.
Oh, that's the most gratuitous violence.
I know. But I just...
A mainstream, you know.
It goes back to that other movie that I saw where I just, like, was too conservative, which I don't get myself, for an extra violence. I don't know. I just am having a really hard time with the, like, raping your family members, raping young girls, selling women for...
But they don't hurt dogs, so it's all okay. That's what you have to remember.
Right.
Until they hurt a dog, no one cares.
What's the animals?
Anyway, I hate the show.
They all still play for the NFL.
My last thing is I did go and see a new movie. I said to Kelly, I need to... She was like, do you want to go see this movie? I said, I need to just get in touch with Al really quickly. And she goes, well, we need to go. We're going tonight. So do you want to go or not? And I looked... I watched the preview, and it seemed okay, and I loved it. And it was called What Maisie Knew. And it's with Julianne Moore and a couple of other famous
people.
And
Alex Skarsgård from True Blood.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And the little girl that plays this girl, Maisie. And it's just about these two parents, Julianne Moore and the dad, who's also famous, but I can't think of his name.
Yeah, that's Skarsgård.
No, Skarsgård is not. He's blonde, right? He's sexy and blonde.
Oh, yeah. Is he not?
Okay. No, he's not. He ends up in a relationship with Julianne Moore.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. But the actual dad, they're divorcing, and it's just about what the... watching divorce through the eyes of a little girl. But the girl is insanely amazing. Like, she's one of these... As I'm watching her, I was thinking of that girl from Beasts of the Southern Wild and how you thought she was good, but...
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking about this little girl was silly yeah. good and so lovable. Anyway, it was a really good movie. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. So
yeah, and it's based on a famous, not a children's book, but it reminded me when I saw the review. I didn't know that. That was another one I didn't know was out yet.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the review that Roger Ebert did about Scenes from a Marriage, where you're watching like people that are in love like just fall apart, and you want to be like, should I leave?
Yeah. Yes.
Am I intruding?
Yeah. Do you know I'm here?
There are some pieces of it that are uncomfortable, but it's like uncomfortable in a really good way. I mean, in a really interesting way, and... You know, it's won all kinds of Cannes movies and or awards.
Yeah,
I think.
It's been doing really well.
I'm hoping it will be a contender Oscar, of something.
Yeah, this is a bleak month for Oscar contenders, but if it holds on, like Mud is holding up. Mud has stayed in the top because everything's bombing. Mm-hmm. Most movies are bombing. That
Kelly also went to go see The Internship, by the way. With
that got one of the highest.
I have no idea what that was.
With Vince Vaughn.
Oh yeah, and that other guy. Oh, Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson. That got one of the highest audience exit polls of any comedy in like 5 years.
And they said it was good?
That means they liked it because Kelly thought it was horrible and her mom fell asleep.
Oh, that's
wow.
I almost went and saw it just because the audience reviews were so positive.
And I always take her word. She knows what I'm going to hate. And so anyway.
I didn't go, but I almost did.
May I just?
Yeah.
I know that you have a
Damn it!
Curious from you guys, who your top three favorite like people that won with their speeches at the Tonys? Do you have a top three?
Oh, I haven't like watched it all yet.
I really like Cicely Tyson's. Yeah. I loved Billy Porter's. I thought that was very classy.
Okay.
I think at this point I'm gonna go Billy Porter 1, Cyndi Lauper 2.
Yeah.
And then
Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper could go anywhere from 1, 2, or 3, depending on if that's what's playing.
Cyndi Lauper I thought was great. That's who I had first, but the Judith Light, I thought was pretty fantastic.
I saw her and I really liked her at the start, and I was happy for her.
Judith Light was on
One Life to Live, and she married her rapist.
One Life to Live, yep, that's right.
Married her rapist.
She also recently was on Dallas, the remake thing that they're doing.
We were talking about how good she is on that.
She looks fucking horrible on there. But I thought she looked great. I understand makeup and this and that, but she looked a lot.
She was so good on Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
Oh, and
it doesn't matter. She's another one. If she's in the gardening movie that Christopher Nolan made, because she just sells everything like it's real life. Like you absolutely believed
you just
she had
a
transsexual son helped run a
magazine. She's one of those people to me that I don't care what she's saying. Her delivery and just the way she does it, she could again read the phone book to me, but she's gonna sell it to you because she just her diction and her cadence, the way she speaks, I just have always liked her.
Kind of mesmerizes you. She was on SVU as well. Do you remember that?
Yes, she's the judge.
What sitcom was she on?
Who's the boss?
Who's the boss?
But I mean, honestly, I remember her from One Life to Live with my sister.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe remember too that
we
Karen Wojcik. She played Karen Wojcik.
Karen Wojcik. That's right.
That's how nuts I am.
From Ryan's Hope to General Hospital.
Oh yeah.
But the one that I
and when she left One Life to Live, I left with her. Like I could, I just couldn't watch that show without her.
The gal from My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and I'm gonna get
Mia,
her name
Mia
wrong.
Mia Varvalos.
The one who won. No, the one who won.
Oh, Andrea Martin. Andrea Martin.
Oh yes.
I thought she was cute. I mean, I was excited for her. The excitment, like she almost shit herself when she got out of that
chair.
Like, damn it!
She has the most nominations of anybody in the featured actress in a musical category.
Okay. She's like the Susan Lucci of the Tonys.
Oh, yeah, no, sure. But she's won in the 90s for My Favorite Year.
Yep.
And please tell me you've all seen the movie My Favorite Year, but I know you haven't, so I'll just get my disappointed face on now.
You should just leave that on most of the time during this.
Yeah, you really should for about 3 hours.
Cue disappointment.
No, the funny thing is...
The big movie star comes over. It's a Jewish family, and the sisters live, like the ladies that live on the street, they live next door to each other in the same apartment building, and they find out that the son that's a head writer for a TV show for a big movie star, that he's coming to their house for dinner. So they all find out, and it's supposed to be a quiet dinner because he's really drunk, and they're trying to sober him up, but everybody finds out and shows up. And the aunt comes in, she's like, she's wearing her like old fashioned 1920s wedding dress. And she's got the veil on. She's like, what? I only wore it once. And she sits down at the table. And that's who
she
Andrea
great
Martin
delivery.
Played.
Yeah.
Just,
I don't
but
know.
Just,
I, you lost me.
She was in Young
and
your
laugh my big is just contagious. Yeah, it's once in a long
she
time
was
ago.
Just a, but she was just like that crazy.
Is she the mom?
No, she's the aunt.
I don't remember.
But the reason I think of it is because in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, that's his mother. Lainey Kazan plays his mother in both movies. She's the mother in My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and she's the mother in My Favorite Year. Why are you wearing that dress? What? I only wore it once. She sits down and eats in a veil in this.
Maybe I'll have to see that.
It's hysterical. Maybe it's one of the most charming movies.
Anyway, thank you.
Every time I see Andrea Martin, I go back many, many years to the early 80s when she was on SCTV.
Oh, my, that's where she was from.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. So
damn it.
To me, she's nothing but that. Yeah. But she's the same. When I look at her eye, everything about her is the same to me. To hear her talk, to hear her speech, I go back to, goddamn, 30 years ago, to her being on SCTV.
I was staring at her.
Well,
like,
that's where that sentence was going.
Her?
And here's this Canadian woman from SCTV that's made, like, Catherine O'Hara. She's just
so good. I love Catherine O'Hara, but I don't know Andrea Martin.
But if you go, if you don't
you know her if you saw her. She's in every movie.
But if you don't know what I'm talking about, SCTV, it was out of Chicago.
I'm Googling,
Second City. Second City TV. Right. It was like the Mad TV, the SNL back in the day. And it was John Candy, Eugene Levy, Andrea Martin.
John Belushi.
Belushi
was in there.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Belushi was on SCTV?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I see him right here.
That's where they stole him from.
Dan, I didn't realize Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd. That's why I said SNL. Because
I thought it was Canadian. I thought Second City was Canadian. But it is out of Chicago.
I thought it was out of Chicago. Yeah.
But a lot of Canadian talent.
You're right.
But you're right. Yes, it was.
And a lot of even new Saturday Night Live people have come from Second City because it's not TV anymore. Now it's just all stand up.
Right, but they made it a.
Oh,
they were there for Chicago.
And just because they got canceled TV didn't mean they stopped. But the other place that they get a lot of SNL people from.
Groundlings.
The Groundlings.
The Groundlings, right. Sure.
Which is where Lisa Kudrow comes from, and she's so funny.
I finally
got around to watching the season finale of Saturday Night Live, and I am so mad that I missed it because people talked about Ben Affleck and Kanye West being kind of a disappointment, and I will never listen to fucking people again about SNL. You just watch the goddamn show. Because even if it's not 90 minutes of entertainment, it's at least 15. So Stefan getting the boot and marrying Anderson Cooper so that Seth Meyers has to run in to the wedding graduate style. It's online. Watch it. It's hysterical. Okay. And all the characters that Stefan talked about are filling up St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Because you liked Stefan. And
he was my
favorite.
Katie,
you and I were saying not huge fans of Stefan, right? You saying that on SNL?
Oh, no, it was Barbara Seville.
Yeah,
it's the gay crack guy that's always like... And so he's talking like the jack, always hiding his laugh.
His fucking teeth. I can't handle his mouth.
So that was on there. Yeah. The Valium for gay summer weddings.
That was really funny.
Brilliant.
When it went to the lesbian part with the dogs. I'm telling you, that's where
you don't need the Valium for lesbian weddings. And it's like two butch dykes with like seven dogs.
Dogs and Birkenstocks and socks.
That was a funny skit.
They're doing that. They all know that I'm trying to dance and they all know the choreography from the Beyonce song that hasn't even been released yet. Oh my God.
The stress level of it all.
Yeah, she's like this, and they're like, and scene. And, that is so good.
And Ben Affleck runs a homo nomo camp. That just fantastic.
I love it.
There was some really, really funny moments in there, but the Valium for, and that's my biggest stress. Like, I'm going to hang out with, like, a couple friends in P-Town, and they're casual. Like, we can all get away with, like, how I normally dress. But then I'm going to spend time with, like, the fancy gays. Right. And I don't dress like that. But they all, like, they get dressed up to go to fucking breakfast.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
they have to look good for it.
They do their hair and put on shiny shirts to, like, take a shit. And it makes me, it's very stress-inducing.
I can believe
it. By the way, some other big names. Rick Moranis, Catherine O'Hara, Martin Short. No. Dave Thomas. Short.
All Canadian.
Billy came out of Second City.
Yeah. Billy Crystal?
No.
He's not on this list.
He was not on there?
No. But I can't remember. Billy Crystal because of soap. And
yeah.
But he came out of somewhere. He did come out of somewhere, but it wasn't there.
Okay.
He came out of Brooklyn.
Something.
He's still mad about the Dodgers.
I can tell.
He has it for some time.
Damn it! The Dodgers!
Damn it! Oh my heavens. End of hour two. We still have a sports segment coming up from Katie June in just a few moments. Don't forget our drinking word is... Damn it. Drink along with us at home if you care to. Get yourself a beverage. Coming up, also, we're going to have Dr. Drew's Death Watch, Death Den, where people live forever if they're on our list. Also, a little introspective segment we like to call Thoughtful Vulgarity coming up in just a little while. We'll tell you more about that in a few minutes. It's the show with Clayton McKee. That's me. I'm here with Katie, Marnie, and Al. We will be back in just a few minutes right here on Q-Talk America. Join us in the chat room and let us know what you think if you care to. We'll see you on the other side of this break in just moments.
You've been listening to the show on Q-Talk America. This is Q-Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Oh, good evening once again. 9 o'clock straight up. It is the beginning of hour three. It's our final hour on a Tuesday night. It's the show on Q-Talk America. Thank you for being here, listening live, downloading, or watching our live video cast. I am Clayton McKee, as I said, right here in studio with Katie June, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins. The foursome on a Tuesday night, giving you as much entertainment as you pay for. And since it's free, well, you're getting your money's worth.
It's a deal. Damn it.
Damn it.
When do we get paid?
If by chance you're just joining us, our drinking word tonight is damn it. So every time you hear one of us say it, we're going to try to take a sip of a lovely frosty beverage, and you do the same wherever you are listening.
I want to dance with somebody who loves me, damn it.
Oh, if you care to join us in the chat room, do so. If you're already listening or whatever, qtalkamerica.com, click on the chat live or listen or chat live banner. You can join us right there. Otherwise, if you're listening on a repeat broadcast, you can email us at theshow@qtalkamerica.com, and we will get your information and respond accordingly if we feel we have time. But for the most part, we don't really have time for you. Unintentional reasons.
Grace, damn it!
Oh. Did you see what I put? You could be a small part of the conversation.
Yes, very small. But we do pay attention. We really do. Okay, here we go. It's time to go into sports with Katie June.
Phoenix Mercury ups their game and takes their standings to 1-3 on the season. The San Antonio Spurs and the Miami Heat are tied 1-1 in the NBA championships. It's Pride Month, and no surprise, we have athletes participating. Chad Ochocinco Johnson in the butt slap heard round the courtroom. Tim Tebow is back on top in third place. And the Diamondbacks draft ASU Corey Hahn.
Uh-huh.
In sports.
Sports.
You're getting really good at that.
Yeah. No, I'm fantastic. Excited about it. I have an actual subscription to ESPNSportsCenter.com. App on my phone. Like, it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. Well, I know. I'm like just catching up. It's been 7 years.
First time you chew the Afghan, you get the app.
It's an automatic download.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were going to say downgrade. Oh, sexism.
Damn it. So listen, the Phoenix Mercury take their first win with injured rookie star Brittany Griner sitting out against the defending champions. Diana Taurasi had to step up her game, and she led the Phoenix Mercury.
So they won without her.
To their first win of the season. They did win without her. So I'm thinking about this, and I think that you know, the rest of the team, in like Diana, you don't have this other big superstar. You know, she's coming in. Brittany Griner is this big superstar, and now all of a sudden she's out with an injured knee, a knee sprain, and so the rest of the team has to step it up.
Sure,
Which is
so
good.
It could just be mind over matter. But hey, they took their first win.
The other piece of that is that you have people that kind of look at it like they defer.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's not even just not stepping up. It's, well, you know,
she can handle this.
She's
right.
9 feet tall. She can reach that from here.
But, you know, but she still is super young, super rookie. Right. So she has to figure her way. So it's the first win under their belt. They beat the Indiana Fever 82-67.
With Tylenol?
It was a good win. Taurasi and DeJuana Bonner were the highest scorers and great rebounds for Bonner. So we're really excited for them to come back home, and they were on a three-game streak, out of town. So they're back in town this Friday, 7 p.m., playing, who the hell do they play?
A team.
Another team of
they
girls?
They play the L.A. Sparks, Candace Parker and the Sparks. They take them on this Friday. So what's interesting is after the draft, everybody in the, you know, all the ESPN, all the pundits are saying Mercury's going to take it. And I still have great amount of faith in our team. But currently they sit at 5 out of 6 in the West Conference.
Right. Yeah, so they're like all the other Arizona teams.
Exactly. They are doing great for Arizona.
Yeah, right. like Major League, the Cleveland Indians. They suck.
Right.
Still shitty.
Yeah.
A swing and a miss.
Finally a movie she's seen.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside.
Remember, she actually got the app a lot way earlier than I did. So
I had the app at birth.
Yeah, so she should be cut
and
up.
And I'm just saying, like, I had all the sports stuff since I'm little. Just that.
But Major League is still funny.
It's a fantastic movie.
So moving along to men's basketball, which is is it over yet?
Never.
I feel like it's fucking hockey.
It will never end.
It's never. So San Antonio Spurs and Miami Heat, they're tied 1-1. The Heat won the first game in Miami. San Antonio won the second game in Miami. And they are playing right now, tonight.
In
San Antonio. Yes. Really pretty exciting. Out of 4 out of 5 ESPN pundits are giving this game tonight to San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
And they've given a number of reasons why. But again, it comes down to the coach at San Antonio, which I talked about last week. Yep. And there are 3 key players, including Tony Parker, who you guys love, really just stepping it up and not allowing Miami to take this first win away from them in their hometown.
Who are the other ones? Ginobili and Duncan? Mm-hmm. Are they still there? And those guys are old. Yeah. Considering, you know.
But Ginobili is like the guy.
Yeah.
That everyone's into. And so that's happening tonight. So we're excited to see what happens there.
Duncan what?
Tim Duncan.
Okay. And there used to be a gentleman there. His nickname was the Admiral. Oh my God, this is terrifying that I can't remember.
Not the little Admiral, because that's totally different. One. Damn it!
I don't know.
Damn it!
What was their third name?
Manu Ginobili. It's Manu. Last name is Gin.
Yep.
David.
Man, you should get me there.
Tony Parker, Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili.
It was not him. It was Tony Parker.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely.
Oh, no, Tony Parker.
Tony Parker's a good looking guy.
I was on the elliptical machine today, and he gave an interview that I almost fell over.
Yeah, he was.
All I got out of that was you were on an elliptical machine today.
Yeah. I was at the gym watching ESPN.
That's wow, actually.
All of these things.
Damn it. I feel like I need.
And that's exactly what I screamed out when I saw his face. I was like, sweet mother
crap,
of Jesus.
Damn it.
Marry me now.
Damn it.
Stick it in.
I'm sure we'll have a lovely, lovely baby.
It'll be immediately.
Mulatto-ish.
Exactly.
That you can put
because
up for adoption.
He's mulatto.
Cafe au lait.
If you will. Yeah, if you will.
Damn it.
Leave room for cream.
I want a mocha latte baby.
With Tony Parker.
Right. You let me know how that works out.
Yeah. Can you put cream in my coffee so it's the color of a child I want?
A little Tony Parker.
Said Madonna.
It's called Swiss coffee.
You guys, we all know that this month is...
He may not.
What are we in? June.
And that's officially, you may know this one. Okay.
It's officially Pride Month.
Pride Month. Kickoff.
I thought it was a sports
officially.
Reference.
Oh, no. So Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Phoenix Pride.
Jesus was at Pride?
Phoenix Pride is...
He's a proud savior.
Is like literally months in the books. Like we had our Pride like months ago.
Sure.
It's so damn hot. But it is officially Pride Month.
It is.
And we have some exciting news. Great, fabulous athletes being involved in prides. The first one is NBA veteran Jason Collins. He marched in Boston's Gay Pride Parade with Massachusetts Congressman Joe Kennedy III, his one-time roommate at Stanford University. Collins wore a Nike-sponsored t-shirt that read, #BeTrue, when he joined thousands of marchers on Saturday. In April, he became, the first active player of any of the major sports to come out as gay. He feels that his appearance in the parade will help others.
Nice. And hopefully it gives someone else out there who is, you know, struggling with what I was going through that realization that once they do step forward, that the support is there waiting for them.
He also said the Boston Marathon bombing reinforced the notion, that things can change in an instant, so he might as well live truthfully. He played for 6 teams in 12 seasons and becomes a free agent next month. Other side of the country, and another player that we love very, very much, Brendan Iambadejo, was part of LA's Christopher Street West Pride. He was the CSW. So Brendan Iambadejo.
No, I got that, but Christopher Street West?
Oh, so it's LA.
Okay.
There's an LA Pride and an LA Christopher. So it's a LA and then there's a West Hollywood. So Christopher Street West, I believe, is different than, or maybe.
Well, Christopher Street is like the big street in New York. So
the Pride organization is actually called Christopher Street West.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
That's the name. It's like Phoenix Pride. They're L.A. Christopher Street West Pride.
I'm with you.
Back on board. So he...
Damn it!
I just also needed to
do that. I
like
that. So they
said he is the genuinely nice guy recipient of the CSW's George Moscone Ally Award. He left the confines. So, right, he's there as a VIP, and they have him in the VIP holding area. And he was like, you know what? Thanks so much, but I'm leaving.
I need to be with the people.
He bailed out of the VIP area where he did his meet and greet and did his thing. Mm-hmm. And he went and cruised around Pride and talked to people.
Don't say cruise.
Right. Actually, good point.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Walked around.
Well, thank you.
Walked around Pride. Met people.
He was curious.
He met people, introduced
experimenting.
Himself to people.
Questioning.
Maybe. He went over to play with.
No, whack-a-mole.
Also,
say whack-a-mole, damn it.
He went over to whack-a-mole.
No whammies. Big money.
With LA's gay football teams. He was throwing balls around with them.
Damn it.
You are not getting out of this alive.
This is why no one will support us. We make everything dirty.
Damn it! Dirty, damn it, whore.
So how are his balls?
He played with them.
Played with them.
And the other team.
Threw him right at other people.
He went and hung out with the other gay football league.
I love it.
They joked around because now he's a free agent, and they joked and said, "Hey, you can always come and play with us." And they said, and he said, "I only play for $1 million." And they said, "We're going to raise
a hooker."
This
is Santa Monica, though. Yeah. They could probably scratch together $1 million.
They said, "We can raise that."
Yeah.
And so now it's
sure.
So now it's a challenge.
He doesn't give a shit what team. He just wants $1 million.
It's a fundraiser on a balcony on a house that can see Catalina Island.
Yeah.
But have it raised before they serve the hummus.
Yes.
Before the good hors d'oeuvres come out.
Yeah. Can we talk to you about uniforms?
How do I spell Ian Bidet Ho?
Exactly.
But what's so cool is
cash or checks,
it's so hard to get, you know, so many times these celebs, they come with handlers and the whole thing to Pride. So it's just awesome that he said, "No, I'm doing it my way." And he's, you know, hung out with everybody.
Man of the people. I like this.
That's really fantastic. Man of the people. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So that's very cool. So Chad, so everyone familiar with Ocho Cinco?
I am.
Dancing with the Stars.
As of today.
He was the Dancing with the Stars champion. He is an ex-NFL star. He no longer plays football.
Ex-free man.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was in jail, in court facing charges violating his probation after a 2012 domestic violence case with his ex-wife, who also happens to be a reality TV star. So these people are not stars for attention.
Right.
At all.
Star fuckers.
Yeah, big time. So he's in court, right? He violated his probation. He's already just kind of a schmuckatelli because
Did you say a schmuckatelli?
Yeah,
I like it a lot.
It's a Boardwalk Empire talking.
Now, does that come with a marinara or an Alfredo sauce?
Alfredo tonight.
On the
Thank
side,
you.
Part, as I understand it, part of the reason that he was in for a probation violation is he hadn't seen his probation officer in 3 months.
Oh yeah, no, he just quit doing. Just quit visiting.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he got called into court. So he gets this lawyer who, of course, because he's still got a lot of money and power and pull.
Right. Right.
So the lawyer gets him a plea deal where instead of facing any real jail time or anything for violating his probation, he's going to get public, community service.
Blah, blah, blah.
A week of house arrest, and he has to do a couple of classes. So as the judge is giving him this, okay, we agree to this plea, we're all set. He's standing behind the courtroom table with his lawyer, and he leans over and slaps his lawyer on the ass real quick and turns and says, "Nice job, coach."
Yeah. But you're missing a key part of this story.
What?
Do you realize why he did it?
Because of the
judge.
Outcome.
The judge says to him, what's his name?
Ocho Cinco.
Are you happy with your representation and your lawyer? And he says, yeah, boom, smacks him on the ass like they do in football.
Football, right.
And the judge is like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't realize that it came on the heels of that question.
She asked him
that. I'm going to tell you, I was more with Katie. I thought it was because of what?
I'm so happy. Yeah, right. I'm glad this is the way it worked out.
She asked if he's happy with his representation and his lawyer and blah, blah, blah.
Good job, coach.
Yeah, good job.
Because Google is saying it went the other way. Google is going with you guys.
Yeah.
Wikipedia is saying the other way, that at the end when they said, here's your plea deal, this is good, you're a go, and he gave him a
Like a high five, but on the butt. No, actually, you know what, Clayton? I'm actually looking at a different article here that specifically says, taken off the table in response to the judge asking if he was satisfied with his lawyer. Johnson gave him a playful swat.
Fuck Wikipedia, damn it.
Because I listen to the audio out of the courtroom where she says it. And
I just want to see him touch his ass.
And then she's like, What did you just do?
Well, the whole courtroom, everyone started laughing.
Laughing, right.
Because they're all watching this, and this woman is like, I'm sorry, are you making a mockery of what's happening in my courtroom?
Right. Well, you're taking it kind of light that this is about domestic violence.
Yeah. You beat up your ex-wife, and then you felt like you were above the law.
Right. Damn it.
Good.
Yes, well, we don't know. We don't know what his wife
is. That's true.
Wasn't recorded on camera. Cute.
But then, not only you beat up your ex-wife, but then you just felt like you were above the law. You didn't actually have to follow what we set down with following your probation, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, he obviously thought it was really cutesy. And she right there on the spot said, wait a minute, you obviously don't get this.
Yeah, that's what it says here. That you just didn't take it seriously, so they gave him the whole thing. It's a football player. I mean, they kind of slap people on the ass all the time. Yeah.
Like, right. But she didn't take it as that. Now, one of the reports that I was hearing late this afternoon in regards to this was, is this a judge who's looking for her moment in the spotlight? Because it's a reality star TV guy. Mm. Cameras are in the courtroom. Yeah. And she's got an opportunity to be like, oh, no, you don't. Not in my courtroom.
I don't know.
Now she becomes the bitch who does that.
I don't think so. Only from where I'm watching, because I really feel like you're a judge. You take your job really seriously.
Certainly, and you
should. Like, this is serious. And here's this fucktard who thinks he's above the law. Like, every other asshole celebrity that, like, Lindsay Lohan and every other celebrity,
they think they're above the law.
And she's like, you know what? You're not above the law. And you think this is funny? I'll show you funny.
You're going down.
I don't think it was a
I think she took it as, I've got some celebrity fucktard in my court. And the first time he does something that says that he's going to take this as, I'm a celebrity, I'm going to walk out of here.
Exactly.
I'm going to Lindsay Lohan my way out of this.
Yeah.
You're done.
I don't think
she was pulling a Judge Ito on this one.
Yeah, I don't either. Mm.
I'm not saying that I believe it.
I'm just saying that's what was observed on air. I was hearing that today.
Only because of her presentation. Like, when she looked up and was like,
this isn't funny.
Yeah. So that's why it didn't seem like she was pandering.
But I think all of them worry about their career.
I don't know. I say good for her, though.
No, but I think all of them worry about how their future is judges, because, you know, you keep getting appointed higher and higher in the judges' courts. If you're just some joke that lets Lindsay Lohan walk 15 times, you're not going anywhere in the court system.
Yeah.
You're going to be the main judge at Shit City for the rest of your life.
She's a woman.
Sweet, I got that judge.
And she knows that he's in there for abusing his wife. I mean, I think that, you know, there's a number of things where she goes, this isn't cute. Right. Anyhow, so he is now sentenced to 30 days in jail. We'll see what comes of that. Okay. So Tim Tebow back on top in third place as he's been picked up by the Patriots in a move that's as strange as it sounds. Long story short is the coach of the Patriots actually says,
Bill Belichick
says that he likes this guy. He likes Tim Tebow. He's on board with him. He hired him as a quarterback behind.
Didn't hire.
Yeah. Draft him in.
But no pay yet. No guaranteed pay.
He basically, and I'm not trying to be. He was invited to a mini camp. And it's kind of like, show up. If you have something that we can use, then we'll use it. If not,
you're still a douchebag. There's no pay or play.
Right.
He doesn't get the 2 years guaranteed pay, whether he sits on the bench or not. He's not guaranteed money.
Right.
Yeah. He just has to show up, and he'll be third string behind Brady.
Tom Brady, for sure.
I don't know who the secondary guy is either, because he never plays, because Tom Brady always plays.
Well, he goes in and takes a knee, you know, if Tom Brady is...
He's a douche.
But they have said here...
But if you're
here,
that hot, you can be a douche, I guess.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, so they also say here that Bill Belichick has done this in the past with other players, like, I don't know these guys. Wes Welker, Danny Woodhead, who's one of the best. Randy Moss, of course, who we know. Remarkable value out of these unwanted players. Sure. So he's doing what he's done in the past, and he's taking an unwanted player. I mean, look, it's great for Tim Tebow, because his other option was to go play in Canada or go to arena football.
Yeah. Or the Lingerie Bowl.
Thank you.
The Lingerie
Bowl. He was,
the Margarita Bowl in Mesa.
Well, the other thing that was brought up in reference to this, because he has, if you will, carnal knowledge of Broncos playbook.
That's right. True. Oh yeah.
So
and the Jets. So he knows. He knows the Eastern Division.
So he can. If they invite him to the AFC, dance, but. If they invite him to the dance, and he sits there, he once they invite him and he's officially there in some capacity,
right?
He can then discuss that with them, and they can get harvest whatever information about what their plays are.
But the teams he knows about, the Broncos mostly suck.
But the other piece of that is Josh. Is it Josh McCown? I can't remember his
Josh
name.
McDaniel, who is currently their offensive coordinator, was the coach of Denver.
Right. Oh, okay. So now you have two people. So that knowledge is already there, kind of. But then, you know,
from somebody who knew what he was doing. But the Broncos mostly suck, and the Jets. Right. And that's my team. Like Mark Sanchez will kick Neil Patrick Harris out of bed and probably beat me up for sleeping with him.
Which one are you sleeping with? Neil Patrick or Mark Sanchez?
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
As long as I end up with Mark Sanchez, it doesn't matter how the story plays out.
And I second that
emotion.
And you
all come to the wedding, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Is he have a brother?
So you're getting the inside scoop on teams that can't win to save their lives.
Right.
But aren't they in the same division?
It was pretty much Jesus on the field. So still
it's inside knowledge of what they're attempting to do. So you can counteract defense as the one, apparently one of the words they use.
I just think.
I mean, he never played for the Jets. He played three plays, and he just runs. He can't.
But
throw
he sat on the on the bench with a playbook, didn't he?
Yeah,
and
he
his teammates talked a whole lot of trash about him and said he's an idiot and who cares about him from the Jets.
Because all he does is run. He can't throw a ball.
He's a moron.
He's just a running back.
Right.
Like, I think they should switch his position.
But when he was with the Broncos, he did.
He ran a lot.
Well, he ran a lot, but he also basically he would be like,
he got lucky.
You ready? Damn it! And then he would just
it was
Jesus. Jesus, right.
It was
John 3:16.
Hail Mary after Hail Mary.
Absolutely. People kept catching them.
Yeah.
So he looked fucking amazing.
He looked amazing, but mostly,
not him.
Mostly he runs. He doesn't. He never throws the ball. Yeah.
And that's what they were saying here is that it's surprised that he's not signed to any of these other positions. Why wasn't he signed to anything else? Like, why a third string quarterback behind a guy that's just not ever
going
to go anywhere?
Because everybody's kind of either found something in the draft. They found the new great white hope, whatever color he may be. Sure. Or
probably not white.
They're standing, but like the Jets are standing by. Well, he's not that great, and there's not much hope, but he is white.
He's white.
That's from the main event with Barbara Streisand. That is not a racist comment.
Well done.
Or they're standing by, like the Jets are standing by Mark Sanchez because I forced them.
Right.
Because they're clearly afraid of me.
Of course they are. Because I can believe that.
They should fire Mark Sanchez.
Oh my God.
We don't want to piss off Perkins.
This particular article is saying that because he's never going to see the field, it's just never going to happen.
It's like that he never played for the Jets.
The only Tebowing fans should expect to see this fall will come during the post game prayer group.
Right.
So don't get too excited, Christian.
Yeah. What is
absolutely.
Because he only played because he was third string for the Jets. I think he only played. I think he only played twice. No,
was second string. Wasn't he
barely played. No, there was somebody else they kept putting in because they hated him. They really
he
did not
really
like him.
Was
no,
bad.
They really hated
him.
Well,
and Belichick truly is that coach that'll be like, why the fuck not? Whereas everyone else is like, no, get him the fuck.
Well, you're right, and that's kind of what it says. He's tried. He actually, anyway, good for him. He's found a temporary home for the time being. Last story, Corey Hahn. Anyone?
Yeah,
anyone? It's
so
been all over
cool.
Facebook. Really cool.
God, it's so cool.
So Corey Hahn was an Arizona State player, baseball player, excuse me, who was paralyzed from the chest down during his third ever college game for ASU after a really, really heinous slide into second base.
I do remember hearing that.
In 2011.
Yes, I do remember.
He hit the knee of the player.
Ended a very promising baseball career. And when he would have been going into the draft, he was picked by the Padres right out of high school.
Right.
But then he committed to play at ASU. So over the weekend, when he would have been going into the draft, the Diamondbacks gave him a very symbolic nod. They proudly selected Corey Hahn of ASU baseball in the 34th round of the draft. And said, welcome to the D-backs family. And what's really cool is they said that this is not just lip service. This is not just a PR move. They really genuinely value him and his knowledge of baseball. And they're going to find a spot for him in the front office or on the coaching staff.
Yeah. That's classy.
They said that this is really, because some people are going, of course, there's a naysayers like, trying to get a good press. Right. And they put that to bed before it even got out there. Yeah. They said, we're not doing this. We think he's valuable.
One of the neat things also was that they were going to choose him. They knew that they were going to choose him. And it was the last of the draft, right? The last pick of the draft. And it happened to be the 34th round. But what made that significant was that he wore the number 34.
Oh, that's
in baseball.
Oh, so they really planned ahead on
that. Oh, that's where he's Corey Hahn 34.
When they make the TV movie, that's going to be just
spectacular. I know, I'm telling you.
Lifetime. It really is.
Like
it's
the
just
movie 42.
You know, the D-backs have been on fire. You know, this
Ants
season.
And crabs?
No, they've actually been playing well.
That girl is on fire.
That is.
Damn it.
They did not make an ointment.
Pick a tone, any tone, just there. Yeah,
just
like
not mine.
Which one of these keys
anyone
you want?
Yeah. Anyway, it's just exciting. It's a feel good.
That's cool.
Story.
It is.
Yeah,
it's so very neat.
We love our D-backs.
Very impressed.
Well,
and that's it.
And there are sports. 9:24. It is a Tuesday night. You're in the studio with the show with Clayton McKee. That's me, along with Katie June and Al Perkins and Marnie Ryer. We'll be back with our Dr. Drew's Death Watch in just a moment.
You're listening to Q Talk America.
Are you as excited, maybe even nervous, as we are about the upcoming decisions that will be handed down by the Supreme Court of the United States later this month? Hello, I'm Randall White, host of Equality Radio here on Q-Talk America. In anticipation of what will surely be a historic day, the staff here at Equality Radio is hard at work putting together expert guests, background information, and legal analysis for a solid day of live coverage. We are greatly expanding our show that day to fit the occasion. We want to be sure you have a forum to express your thoughts as history unfolds around us. There may be no greater moment in LGBT history than what's about to happen. And Equality Radio on Q Talk America will be here so we can all share it together. Tell your friends, family, and LGBT allies Q Talk America is the place to be when SCOTUS makes its decision known. Stay tuned.
This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Here we go!
Dr. News Dentist!
Now, the good news is, well, the bad, good news, bad news. What do you want first?
Either I'm not sure.
Both of it.
All right. Bad news is we're still all losers.
Yes, we are. Pretty
much.
Well,
no. They have some points.
Good news is two of our people are critically ill.
Critically? Yes. I don't think one.
No. Nelson Mandela. I'm so sorry. We have the wrong half of the marriage.
Right. But what, can we include the prince in that, though?
I will.
Okay.
What prince?
Can we just change it to royalty of England?
I'm going to... The Windsors.
Since we now all know who they are.
Well, wait a minute. We already knew Philip was sickly.
We decided to go with Betty.
Oh, that's true. Right. Yeah, because remember he had like that pneumonia.
Right, he was having issues
during the Olympics.
During the Olympics, he's in the hospital now. And Nelson Mandela is almost guarded. He's like get to the point of.
Oh, they flew his daughter in.
That's right, they did. Because she was in. What country was she
in? So we've made it Phil and Betty Windsor.
Yeah. or any relation thereof.
What we're doing is we're broadening the net.
No, we're not going all the Windsors. We're just sticking to those
just
two.
Them.
Shame the Queen Mum's gone.
That's right. Shame
the Queen's, and I love it because he's the Queen Consort. I love that title.
Oh, what does that mean?
That he's fucking the queen.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Because he's not the king. He can never be the king of England.
Right, I understand that.
That's awesome. That's how it needs to be in those Game of Thrones at times, fuckers.
Well, see, now,
I hate them.
I'm stupid about the royals. So you can coronate a queen just because she's married to the king, but you can never have a coronation and make someone king.
As it should be.
Because they married the queen.
Right?
Oh.
They are the queen's consort forever. They can be. He's like Prince Philip of Edinburgh or something like that. He gets a title, but he can never be
and
king.
And Edinburgh's pretty fucking cool.
I don't think
so
he really
we'll
gives
it.
A shit. He's taking care of it. That's all he wants.
Casual racist. So we still have Valerie Harper, who's going to live forever because we got her first. Jerry Lewis. Telethon's going on every fucking day.
Yeah, but he's not part of it anymore.
Entire cast of 2020.
Remember that? He's not at all part of the MDA telethon.
I've been busy on Labor Day for years.
They fired him two or 3 years ago.
2 years ago, I think,
Nelson Mandela, Nancy Reagan, or Babs Bush, although she's looking sprightly over
she
here.
She does. She has a little spry because of that whole, you know, once she commented about we've had enough Bush.
Yeah.
You got to love her for
Haven't we all? Jim Neighbors, Muhammad Ali, Karen Black, and Zsa Gabor. I think she's just ahead and like...
A torso.
Part of a left limb.
That's it.
I don't know which limb. It might just be like a
she
flipper.
She doesn't even have any major organs.
I don't know if she can feed herself or not anymore. I'm not sure.
I'm sure not.
I thought about her the entire...
She has a prince. What's her prince's name?
Almost dead.
Can we put her in his,
because I think
Zsa Zsa and her prince, whatever his name
is. I think they're betting, you're running neck and neck. Oh, no pun intended.
He's gonna win. That's all that's left.
Neck. All I could think about was when we were watching the Liberace movie a couple weeks ago is the fact that they're filming a movie in her house and she's laying in
state. She's on a respirator upstairs.
No, I think it's fantastic. Like, I hear he has a cute little pet name for Stump. Something like that. It's so cute.
Something like that. Something like sweet.
Her breathing machine sounds like she's making keys in bed.
What is her... Jesus Christ. What is her husband's last name? He's like Prince Archibald. Archibald
Barisol.
Archduke or something.
I have no idea.
Barisol. Just make it up.
It's a comics thing, I'll tell you something.
I'm loving the fact that, did you guys see what Sean Nerdal put on my page? Oh my God. Seriously?
I missed it.
South Africa family visits Nelson Mandela. It says, you guys are so close to getting one on Dr. Drew's deathbed. I roared. I thought that was hysterical.
I'm kind of...
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah, that was very fun. Rooting
Thanks for that, Sean.
Us.
I know. There's well, nice someone that I... But you have to understand, I'm still thinking about therapy because of how I was like, damn it! You know, the idea of, where's Nelson Mandela? He needs to die. Like, why am I rooting him on to be dead?
Because you want 10 points.
She wants the full 10.
But I really, really got a little
Like, you're
going to
call the South African hospital. It's almost Tuesday. Can we get an update?
Can you hurry this up?
How close are we?
Pull you know the fucking plug. Who I thought about this week to put on the list, and this is Sal Pants.
Cicely Tyson. Because we thought about Cicely Tyson.
She gave a bucket list speech.
This is really super saddy. It's local. And only because she turned 91 this year.
Oh,
I thought about Rose Mofford.
Oh.
The Gov, thought our first lady.
I saw the picture that Kirsten Sinema posted of her and Rose.
I have a picture with her a couple years ago. She still is actively campaigning and for other people. And she is
not for herself.
She's not for herself. She's term limited out.
Well, as I say, actively campaigning, I'm like, no, that bitch is not running for anything. No. Thank goodness.
No, that was fantastic.
For others.
But, you know, she's feisty and she's still with it, but 91.
Yeah.
That's old.
And for those of you out there who don't know who our former Governor Rose Mofford is, don't confuse her with Ann Richards from Texas.
It's easy to do.
It's very, really, very similar
really
hair.
Now,
very
I submit a new name, and it's because of watching...
What?
The Notebook. Okay. James Garner. James Garner.
He was on and off.
He was on. He's been on, but we took him off.
No, when?
I don't think he was on.
I thought it was the first few weeks we had.
I don't remember him being on.
I don't think he lasted but maybe a week or two, but we took him off and put him up with other people we thought were worse off. But
he's
sure, we're not doing
really
well.
Sickly.
Yeah, he is.
Let's put him on.
I say we replace Jim Nabors.
Perfect.
Okay, let's replace Jim Nabors then. All right.
Because apparently
we're making a change of the death.
Because I sat there and I saw this the whole Notebook thing and I thought, let's allow
ourselves a team,
a plus or minus,
like a team honorable mention. If Jim Nabors kicks the bucket in the next week, we get a team honorable mention.
We get 4 points.
God damn.
Spell Gardner correctly for me.
Garner.
Or anybody from the Rockford Files series.
No.
Now we're just kidding.
If a 1978 Firebird dies.
Let me tell you how sad I'm going to be with, and I can't even remember John Cassavetes' wife's name, Jenna Rollins.
Oh,
I'm going to be very sad when Jenna Rollins.
That even means.
That's the woman from the Notebook. Put her on the list.
If you don't want her to die, put her on
the
list.
That's really
you should call it our self-preservation or preservation.
We need to have Betty White on there. We need to have Jenna Rollins. Yeah, all of it. Absolutely.
All people we love.
Yep.
All right.
Tyler just noticed the negativity.
Whatever.
Thanks for playing.
Let's continue on. It is 9:32. We're running a little late. It's time for some thoughtful vulgarity.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we, in the studio, try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck. Good luck.
Okay, forget about your real age for a second.
Oh.
How old would you describe yourself as?
Give me a day, because it depends on the day.
I'm going to go with today at 9:33 p.m.
Fine.
According to the atomic clock.
23.
Oh, okay.
23.
What makes you feel 23?
I hardly sleep. I'm constantly going. I think I'm invincible.
You're giddy
still.
In love.
I'm giddy in love.
Giddy in love.
Giddy in love. And
it must be nice to have someone. Anyway, continue on.
Never mind.
Damn it!
But yeah, I mean, just that, all of those kind of things. I mean, I don't stop.
Couple skate is a tough time for Clayton.
Yes.
Because I can't skate backwards.
Put the lights down.
I can't skate backwards.
Let's dim all the lights, sweet darling, and couple
Please
skate.
Do.
Yeah.
So now you ask me 9:30, I say 23 because I never sleep and I don't stop moving. And on Wednesday, I would say 74.
Because you realize you haven't stopped moving and really need
a
nap.
I'm not invincible and I need to sleep and, you know, whatever. But yeah.
Okay.
So that would be why. I think like that.
Katie
think.
June.
I really feel
with
like...
With a daughter, Palmer, right? Yes. Did I get it right?
Yes. Oh, damn God. It! That was good!
Damn it! I've been working on that for an hour and a half.
Yes.
The final 25 minutes of the show, he gets one thing right. No, I'm kidding.
Since September.
Yeah, 25 minutes and about 6 months. Yeah. So,
exactly.
I think I feel exactly the age that I am. I'm 32. I feel just that age. I don't feel... I don't know. I feel like I'm really where I'm supposed to be, but... You know, there are certain people that I spend time with. Like, when I go out with certain people, I feel like I'm 14. Like, we just, we have, like, good, clean laughs and just fun and really juvenile fun. And so I think that the way that I feel depends on who I surround myself with, you know, and, like, what the setting is. But I think, like, in general, I feel very good and, like, I feel like I am my age currently.
Okay.
I'm reminded because I think of this often, and I think part of it is just because you get older, but when certain people say things in your life, they stick with you, and then you make it a point of reference. So I remember my mom's father always said that, you know, though it's when he got older, 75 and 80, you know, when he would get older, he's like, in my head, I'm still 25. Mm. He goes, but the body isn't. He goes, but when I feel the same in my head. He goes, I feel the same.
Yeah,
I think the same. I realize, you know, my thoughts, my points of reference. He goes, though I realize I've had more time. So I always think about that. I'm like, okay, oddly, I think about that all the time. How old do I feel that I am as opposed to my real age?
Yeah.
So I kind of vacillate between sometimes I feel like I'm in the 25 area because I still feel a lot of how I still feel in a lot of ways the same as I did when I first moved to Phoenix.
Sure.
I feel when I moved here and my own life began and all that kind of stuff. I still feel that way, but then there are other times when I swing and I feel like I am my age, not because of a physical feeling, but because I seem to be distributing advice to people constantly who ask me about how they should handle things or how they should do things. So I clearly am coming
that you did 20 years ago.
Right, things that I've already been through and done. And the other thing that's funny, and you and I joke about this, Al, all the time, is the fact that people continually come to me for relationship advice. Right. And I'm like, I'm the last person because the last relationship I was in was 12 years ago. Right. I am not the person that you need to ask about that. But they come to me, but more or less it's in reference to life questions or how should I handle something or do something. But for the most part, I still feel like I'm like Marnie. I still feel like I'm in my 20s. I guess, and I think it's because of how I feel. I still feel like I can accomplish and do anything, and I do accomplish and still do a lot. I don't think I sleep as much as I should.
No, I agree.
I certainly don't take care of myself as much as well as I should. But I go nonstop all the time, and I know a lot. What's crazy is I know a lot of people that are younger than like that are 25 that don't do shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and they get really tired.
And
really
I understand that. Yeah.
Because you need your rest.
Why don't you?
the older you get, the less sleep.
The
you
less
need.
Sleep you need. No. Right. But at 23, I hardly like. But I was constantly
I need way more sleep now than I did.
Yeah. So when you get older, like old people don't sleep very much.
I need lots of sleep as I've gotten older.
They literally don't.
I just think it's funny that I find younger kids. There are people. I call them kids because they are. Younger people who. I run circles around, and I think it's really funny. Like, they get up and they do one thing, and they're like, "Oh, my day was so busy." I'm like, "Fuck you!"
I find that too when people that are younger than me are with less responsibility than I know that they have less than I have, and they're like, "Woo, just getting up and heading out for the day," and it's like 3.
Right.
I'm like, "What the fuck are you? What I would." Commit suicide if I didn't wake up until 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
There is not a week that goes by that someone doesn't give me some attitude because I got up at 4 o'clock. I'm like, I went to bed at 9 a.m.
right.
But I still get that, 4 o'clock.
Oh, you probably
that happens.
Do you need gay wedding summer Valium? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I get that. Like, I get it all the time.
Well,
like,
you're in an industry where it's a very
so
different.
Much. Yeah,
I think
your schedules are very different.
Remember,
I still get that from like I still for people that know what I do and know what time I went to bed. Sure. Like they know I got up work at 8 a.m. Like. You're still asleep.
Well, poor thing.
Yeah, no,
if I woke your ass up at
I've
midnight, would you be like...
I've been sleeping for 3 hours.
Exactly.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Clint?
No, remember the old commercials for the Army that says we do more before 9 o'clock, right, before most people do all day?
Yeah.
I don't do it before 9, but I accomplish a lot of shit a day. And I know it just astounds me that people who don't... And now I can no longer say it, but remember I used to give shit to Carlton all the time about the fact that he does nothing but he sleeps or he's in his bed all day
constantly.
Watching movies, and then he just went to work. Now I never see him because he's never home.
Sure.
He works all night at the bar. He now manages
he's
the tanning salon.
He's got two jobs. He's got a relationship.
He goes constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When he goes, he goes. When it's time to unwind,
I think a lot of
that's
it.
That's the right balance in life. You go when you need to, and then if you have the time and the... And the desire to say, fuck
almost
you, it's a snow day. I call them snow days.
And sometimes,
that's where I'm staying.
And sometimes, if you can't help but go when you don't want to, they make special pants for that. How old do you
have? And then they ship them pants.
Ship your pants.
I just ship my pants.
It's so convenient.
Damn it.
Now, how old do you think you are?
I would say 34. And the reason that I like this
question. That's a very particular age.
I really felt that. Everything in life was like swimming along at 34.
Was that your zone? Like that was your
yeah. That's when I was like smart enough and good enough and pretty enough and damn it,
people liked you. Everybody really liked you.
Yeah, that's when it all kind of.
What age were you when you went back to school?
Later than that, I think. Yeah, I don't know. 37, 36.
Okay, so 35. Just so when you were in your heyday at BS. That you're saying?
Yeah, the middle of that, but not because of BS West so much. It's just that I just liked. I was just
your life.
I was traveling as I was working as much as I wanted to. I was traveling as much, but it was. It's not about like what I was doing at 34 that makes me feel so great about myself. Like this weekend, spending time with people all my own age. Like one 20-year-old infiltrated, but we didn't talk to him very much. His name was Jose. He was charming and beautiful, but he was not part
of
our.
Pretty eye candy.
He was not part of our conversation.
Do you have a number?
Yeah, but it was all people my age or older. And we were all doing the same. Like, we went to the symphony together. We went out to Stacey's together. So I didn't feel like I was with the shiny shirt 20-year-old gays. You know what I mean? Like, yes. I don't have to compete
Raves.
With you.
Woo!
Like, I'm a middle-aged fat bald guy. We're not going to get around that.
And
like,
at my house on Sunday, we were all even key.
Everybody was the same age. Yeah. And when it was time, it's 11 o'clock. We all have to be somewhere in the morning. Like, we got up and we went to bed. Like, there was no, like... I want to go do this. Everybody was like, you know what? It's 11 o'clock. I'm tired. I'm going home. Like, everyone was the same age. It was time to say goodnight. We started lunch at 1 o'clock. I went and did stuff. I was on my bike all day. I brought food over to his house. I set up a little buffet. We had a party. And then it was time to say goodnight.
Sure.
And there was no more, no, we have to do one more thing. No, everybody was like.
Or somebody screaming, shots, let's all do shots.
Right. Yeah. Everybody went to bed, so it was like, I felt like we were all the same age, we were all doing the same things. And I'm like, this is so much easier than trying to pretend.
Right.
If I was with a bunch of 20-year-olds, I would feel 60.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no, I'm not doing all that.
Well, and what I was going to say with those different thoughts of being like the 23-ish range is because I remember everything. Like, I have this... sponge in my head, and sometimes that's a blessing and sometimes that's a curse, but I can think back and like Bex, where, you know, because Bex and I were completely hanging out at that time.
Right.
We had known each other for 4 years at that point, and it was one of those things where I can look at her and say, you know, well, what about remember blah blah blah, and she has no idea. Like she can't picture herself there.
Right.
And I can.
Yeah.
You know, so it to me it's kind of like, well, didn't we just do that yesterday?
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot
like,
of what
that
it
just
is.
Happened. Oh no, that was like 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think.
And
a
some
lot
things
of that
feel like they
from.
Were 100 years ago, and you're like, no, that was last week. And then you're like, oh you're my right, god, I just right. got off. No, that
20 years ago.
That was
That
was 1982, sweetheart.
Right.
And I think that was a lot of it. Yeah.
I think like having you know you said you were around people your age and friends, and you guys had the same. I feel.
And we were a span of like 7 years. We went from like, well, actually 10 years, because you're like 43.
I'm 43 now.
43 to 52 is like our oldest companion of the weekend.
Sure.
Of the weekend.
Right.
So,
Well, when I was this, my weekend consisted of the symphony, which was lovely, of course, I've already mentioned, but also birthday parties for 1 year olds, you know, like brunches
going away party
with 1 year olds, going away party.
Brandy and Tambra.
But I, yeah, which was lovely. I, but when I'm with, I don't know, like I look at, okay, my friend, so Natalie is the one that I love going out with. I love it. I love it. And I told Kelly after I saw Natalie on Sunday for a couple hours and I was like, well, I need a Natalie night because sure. I feel like I'm 21. Sure. Really, like I really, and we're the same age in actual real life, but Natalie is just a most, in a very incredible free spirit, very young, right. Just a really young spirit and just incredible. And I love the way I feel when I'm with her and being around her. And but I feel much younger. But then when I'm actually in my real life and I'm, you know, we do the splash pad on Saturday morning with the kiddos and then we have the 1 year old birthday party and then, you know, we go shopping for the next birthday party. And then I'm like, no, I'm around all my college girlfriends or my high school girlfriends, mostly college. And then I'm like, this is real age. This is like real life.
Right.
Like, you know, we're all like kind of spiking our punch in the back room. You know, like there's the punch bowl for everybody. And then the mom leaves out like the bottle of vodka in the back for everyone that wants to spike their punch, which who wouldn't? And I'm sorry, but I don't get,
mom I've ever met.
I don't get when people have a first birthday party or a baby shower or whatever else with no booze. I don't get it. Just me? Like, am I a weird alcoholic?
And I would just like to put this out there to the world, to straight women, lesbians, and gay men. I don't want to go to your baby shower.
Nobody does.
They're horrible.
Nobody wants
to
go.
They are not entertaining. Right. No one really drinks because everybody there is either carrying a kid or is about to have a kid or is trying to have a kid.
And I don't know how to put a diaper on something blindfolded.
And I'm not.
And I don't want to.
I'm not eating something out of a diaper and guessing what fucking candy bar that is. That's filthy. Filthy.
It's a baby Ruth, but damn it. I will tell you that at my baby shower and at Palmer's first birthday party, there was sangria flowing and great wine. I just feel like, because, you know, Palmer's baby shower, it was all lesbian friends and like a couple of like fabulous gays. And nobody wants to be sober. Anyway, that's a whole beside the point. But everybody should serve booze at their one-year-old birthday parties and their baby showers.
Let it be known right now, the next time you get knocked up, we're never coming to the shower.
Hey, wait a minute.
You should come. It's going to be good. We're going to have booze. And
I know, but nobody really drinks. I've been the bartender at two of them so far. That's how they lure me in.
Everybody, we had to like postpone opening presents at Palmer's birthday party because people had to go out and buy. My dad had to go buy more booze.
All right. I'm liking the way this is playing out.
We're going to go to the Katie and Kelly baby show.
No, it's good. I'm liking the way this is playing out. I want everyone to like get drunk.
Once she gives birth to Potomac, everything is going to be great.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Potomac.
Wouldn't that be a good name?
Yes. That is a good
Palmer
name.
And, this is Palmer and little baby Potomac.
You know what would be a pretty girl's name? Iroquois.
I don't like it. But
Damn it! Well, you saying there's magic to do, and I gave you a shitty baby name.
That
we're even.
That was good.
She leveled that at all.
What is our follow-up question? I'm assuming I have
a slight follow-up to go with that. But Monday, when I did, was it yesterday Monday?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
Monday, when I had my snow day, because I had too much sun. I had been everywhere on my bike. I'd been drinking. I'd been hanging out with friends. I was like, you know what? I am 46 years old with a kick-ass job and a lot of fucking PTO. So I'm going to make the same money sitting here at home as I would
at
work.
Good for you.
I love
good
that.
Good for you.
I love that.
I was like, no, I'm old.
No.
And happy to be there.
That's just smart.
Yeah.
That's very smart.
But that did make me laugh because I seriously, as I was like telling them at work, like, no, I'm not working tonight. You're done. Yeah. Sorry. I know I was scheduled, but
Daddy's sick.
I've got so much PTO.
Daddy's tired.
I can make the same amount of money sitting on my couch as I can going in and doing my job. So guess where I'm going to be?
Yeah.
Dexter season one, just for no fucking for no fucking reason. And then I'm going to a movie theater and just asking them, what's playing?
Can I? May I?
What can I get for $9.50 worth of air conditioning? And then I don't think we've asked this question before, but it's a nice. I feel like we've asked this, but I'm still going to do it as a good follow up question. Well, I think it's good.
We'll be the judge.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm torn between two
lovers.
We have 10 minutes. So depending on what you can ask.
So let's do the first one as one word birthdays. One word answers.
I like this. One word answers. Let's do it.
One word answers.
Okay. Shit.
Do you like your birthday?
Yes.
Yeah,
not really. Okay.
That was two words. Damn it.
Three, actually.
Not really.
All right. Now, I feel bad cheating us into 12 minutes, but I like this question. Okay. Maybe we'll do it a follow-up next week. Marnie Ryer.
Yeah.
I think I got both your names right that time.
Wow.
I'm on a fucking roll.
Yeah, damn it, that was good.
Damn it. Wow. Alzheimer's, fuck off. Are you at peace with yourself? Ooh, isn't that a nice question?
It's not a one-word answer, by the way.
No, that's what I said. That's why I wanted the first one to be a one, because
that's why initially I went,
this might be a part two or next week. I like this question.
Tick-tock.
Damn it!
This is a tough question.
It's a tough question because I feel with how I am with people when I make the right decisions that I'm good. But as far as within myself, I feel like I have a ton of shortcomings. So if that's what you're referring to as far as being at peace with myself, I guess have to say no because of the shortcomings that I feel. Like, I feel like there are a lot of really good things, but my personal shortcomings, that doesn't make any sense, probably. In my head, it does.
A little bit.
Now, are you confusing being comfortable with comfortable?
I don't mean like comfortable with my body.
But no, I'm not saying that. But are you confusing at peace with yourself as a person with insecurities of something else? Because I put them in two separate categories.
Oh, I would too. Yeah, I would take insecurities away from
I
would.
Like, yeah, I read this question and by all means answer it as you wish. Are you at peace with with Marnie Ryer as an individual?
Clearly not
person.
At peace with that microphone.
No. If I die tomorrow, if I die tomorrow, do I feel like I have any regret kind of things? Like,
that would
do
be good.
I think it's good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's always going to be something you want to say or something you want to make up for or something you want to do, but I think overall, yeah. Thank you for talking that through, because at first I was like, I got a lot to work on.
No, that's why I said.
Damn it!
That's why I didn't want to shortchange that question, because I really liked it.
Yeah.
You can internet a lot of these questions.
Nice. I am not at peace with myself. No. I have, there. If I were to die tomorrow, there would be a lot of things that I want to do, and not a lot, but I envisioned a different life for myself. I'm very happy and I'm comfortable where I am, but a different life for myself in terms of what my career would be. I always wanted to be, and I envisioned myself as a career woman. When I was little, I didn't picture a big wedding. I didn't picture a family and children. And so I literally pictured what I wanted to wear suits to work. I wanted to drive, like, I have a town car pick me up. I wanted a big office on the
corner.
Did
you envision that Devil Wears Prada was
going
to be your life?
You know, it's
13
so,
going on
it's
30
so weird
is
because,
what
like,
saying.
I was a little kid. Yeah. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be powerful and successful. I literally used to, like, little kid. So I didn't know Devil Wears Prada, but.
Well, no,
but,
obviously, it's a more recent movie
right,
than that.
Right, but very similar.
When you were sleeping with everybody in Nantucket, I understand.
Yes, and this is way before even the power sex I was trying to have. But yes, I wanted this
My
really,
sharing was nothing like Katie and June.
I wanted a very high, I always envisioned myself as being a really high, powerful, like a very, or like a high power corporate kind of a person, woman. Okay. That's who I wanted to be. So that didn't happen, and I certainly don't regret where I am currently.
I was like, certainly nothing bad happened.
No, I've had like some really great things happen, and I've been really happy with the course my life has taken, and I'm happy where I am currently. But there's that piece of me that I feel wildly unsuccessful. I feel like a super coward when it comes to challenging myself in the workplace. And even in this small, I'll say, like, even in this really small way, if someone were to have asked me, you know, to come on board and be Kirsten, I'm working again for Kirsten in a very limited capacity. And if they were to have said, we want you to come on board and be the finance director, I would have absolutely said no, because I would have thought I could never do it. I don't believe in myself enough to think that I could do that job. But I'm looking at the guy who's doing it, and he has way less experience than me. He doesn't know half the donors that I know, and he's doing it, and he's taking it on. And I'm like, fuck, why would I not have had enough confidence
right.
to say, yes, I want to challenge myself there? I don't know. I just feel like I have, and there is a really, really, really super critical moment in my life that happened that in work that I won't go into, but just where I lost my confidence as far as my career goes and work goes, and I have never gotten that back. And I feel really, I feel a very lack of peace when it comes to my work and professional life and who I thought I would be versus who I actually am and where I want to end up, not where I am now. Like, right. I don't.
You mean not now at the show?
Right, exactly. Right.
I'm gonna get the fuck out of here. So, yeah. Like, you want to prove yourself on a professional basis
to myself?
Be, yeah, right. Yeah, yes. To prove that you can
to me,
someone
to my
can
own self,
lay down a gauntlet and you can pick it up and say, "Fuck you."
I want to be.
Damn it, I can do this.
That's right. Want to be professionally better than where I am,
and have the poker face to say, "I can do that."
I can do it,
even if you have your doubts, you'll work them out. Yeah, that's good.
I like.
And so, for that reason, I'm not at peace with where I am.
I will add to your story that. I certainly hope, and this is, I'm not greasing wheels of anything. I'm just telling you what I hear when I'm out and about, and because of your affiliation now with this show, so many people in this community who know you through your work with Kirsten, through your work with Sway, through everything, you are so adored, and people love you for everything. And I don't know, if you're just pulling off some masterful bullshit thing, people think you're fucking everywhere doing everything.
Yeah. She is.
So as far as if you, I understand yourself feeling that you're not where you want to be, but everybody else that's out there sees what you do and loves everything that you do.
That's,
so you're making your mark whether you think you are or not. Yeah. But I understand that you want to get to a point and you'll be able just to stand there and go,
That's just kind of how I pictured myself. So it's weird to...
Being one of the senior members of this panel, I would say that you've got a lot of time to work on that. Yeah. And I don't doubt that you'll get to where you want to be with that at all.
Thank you.
I don't doubt that at all.
Damn it, I agree with him.
Am I at peace with myself? I think I would have to say yes. I go back to there's things I would like to accomplish, but as far as if something happens and I'm taken out tomorrow or the next day, I think I did pretty good. The bucket list is still there. I'm going to accomplish things. Blah 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 blah. But I think I'm pretty well at peace. I'm 20 years ago when I moved to 20 years ago this month I moved to Phoenix and. Figured out myself a little bit and made peace with that, and with that made peace with some other family members that, I had to realize that they may or may not have accepted it, but we all went our separate ways and did what we did, and we're okay. I think I'm good at a peace, and I have a lovely surrounding, and I get to do this, and I have a lot of friends, and I get to be involved with HRC and the gala and other events that I like to
and
do. So
basically every. Organization event. Event, or bar,
or host whatever. So yes, my short answer is yes. But Mr. Perkins?
No, I would say, and mine would be that I think that everyone that I love knows that I love them. Like everything that I like, I do it. Like I don't hesitate. I don't wait for someone else's permission anymore. Ever. I maybe at some point I would wait for someone's permission. But I do what I like. Like I'm very happy with. My family, I love them. I love them, and we're all on the same page. Yeah. I've made peace with the fact that, like, my one sister wants to be everywhere 6 hours ago. My other sister wants to clean everything. I don't really give a shit, so I just do what I'm told and hope my laundry's clean when they're done arguing.
You know what I mean?
Everyone's gone on, but I think I had the chance to tell everyone in life, like, I love you, and even people that piss, like, you may annoy the shit out of me, but deep down inside, I really like you and like you around, like, you may challenge the shit out of me as a person, but I think that's what being at peace is. There's no relationship that I have that I feel is unfulfilled or, like, something went unsaid or things that should probably have been left unsaid.
Right. Yeah.
That probably should have not come out of the closet.
Some of which were on this show.
Yeah. Honestly.
Oh, thank God
that
for
goes back to those recordings. Regret things and whatever, but I mean...
You know what I mean? Like, had more laughs than most people probably should have, cried when I should have, like never cheated an emotion that I feel like, so...
Right.
I'm good. I hope to, live to a little bit longer.
Right.
a couple weeks.
While the skin and the legs are still holding up.
Right.
I think you're doing all right.
Still got the teeth.
That's right.
But, I make my peace with myself, anytime I do something crazy, like, okay, make your peace with God because you may die from this.
And how lucky are we all with the laugh? I mean, because that's what it's all about. I mean, we laugh more than...
We should be allowed to.
We should be allowed to. It's a little bit
and most of it's at ourselves. Which is fine.
Seriously, 99% of the time. It's what an asshole I am, mostly.
We are wrapping up hour three. I'd like to thank you personally for being with us. My name is Clayton McKee. This is the show on Q-Talk America. Al Perkins, Marnie Ryer, and Katie June fill out our cast very well every Tuesday from 7 to 10. We want to leave you with this one final thought as we close each and every Tuesday. We will
see you next Tuesday!
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.